Good morning. I would like to call this regular special meeting of the Board of Directors. It's a special meeting in lieu of our April regular meeting, which we had to change the date on. Today's April 12th. We're starting this at 10:09 a.m. And I would like to start with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know you said it before. Okay, first we'd like to approve the order of the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Unanimous.
I just also want to note that all directors are present.
Roll call.
Yes, please. I'm sorry. Roll call. All directors are present. Open the floor to public comment. I'm sorry. Yes, Ms. Crow.
Thank you, President Cheney.
Yes.
First of all, I want to thank Jennifer. Jennifer, I want to thank you publicly. Thank you for clearing up some things that were in the board packet that were not very clear. And she took the time to do that yesterday, and thank you. I also want to thank Rachel. You all need to thank Rachel. She landscaped. It will be lovely when it's all happening. And the next thing I want to say is, and I don't know who can answer this question for me at another time, but I would like to know, when I've added up all the money that's going to be approved today, from the board packet, I'd like to know, someone to explain to me where the money's coming from, because there's, from what I understand, there's no money in the reserves. This has been said for a long time, unless you've kind of scooted some over there. So I'd like someone to explain to me, when you're going to approve all these payments and things, where you're getting the money from. I know you can raise the water rates next year, that'll probably be raised, but if there's a surplus of money, I'd sure like to know where it is. So maybe, President Janet, you can tell me who I should talk to, the staff or the general manager can tell me, you know, some who I can talk to about that, please.
Absolutely.
After the meeting, or tell me at another time.
Give me a call. Come by. Stop by.
I called yesterday. You weren't here, but that's okay.
Always call me on my cell phone.
Oh, okay.
That's
thank
the best way to make sure that it even goes with me.
Thank you.
Yes, Bert.
So this is a question in the public session. Can't we get an answer in public?
It's comment.
For each, yes, it's comment. Public comment. For each item where we'll talk about spending money, I'll talk about where the money's coming from.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of assumed that was going to happen in the action items.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Okay, we're closing the floor to the public. Information items, number three, staff reports. Fire department report, please.
Good morning. My name is Nick Cassie. I'm the Deputy Chief of Operations for Cal Fire Pullman Cal Bear Unit. I'm here on behalf of Chief Murphy and Chief White. They were unable to attend. For the month of March, we had 23 emergency incidents that we responded to from the Groveland Cal Fire Station on Merrill Road with the Amber engine, and 46 emergency incidents out of Station 78. Two of those were structure fires, one off Crawford Lane and Pine Mountain Lake, and the other one off Big Oak Road. Were successful in an address finish for package both engines and able to minimize the damage from both of those fires. In addition to the emergency response, we did have a community meeting in the month of March that included the Sheriff's Department, as well as the County OES and local stakeholders regarding fire preparedness, hardening homes, evacuations, and such. And I think it was really successful. I had really good turnout from some of the faces that were at that meeting that are here right now. Going forward from the Cal Fire side, we hired 78 firefighters on April 15th.
Wow.
Start staffing 15 engines on April 22nd. On April 29th, Copper 404 will be available with budget and crew. And then our fixed wing will come on most likely mid-June, depending on when conditions warrant. We can either speed that up or set that back. So we are working on transitioning as we get through more of a, I would say more of what a historical weather pattern has been. We're going into spring, transitioning through, and then looking to staff up in the report.
Thank you very much. Yes.
I need some assistance to get online here. I can't seem to get online. Maybe somebody can help me. I've never had the problem before. It's not an old story. I've never had that problem
before. You've been having issues with the Wi-Fi.
Are you having an issue with the Wi-Fi?
What a guy.
Hang on.
But I was always told that it's, I couldn't do that, so I didn't know that.
You're kidding. No, they had it all.
Get on one.
Like a guest? You guys are like a guest.
Okay, moving.
That's not going to be very helpful, is it?
Did you get squared away, Bert?
What's that?
Did you get?
Jennifer.
Oh, okay, okay.
Go ahead, because it's up there.
I'm resetting it, but yes. Since we had that really big outage, it's been not very.
I got Brian Baltimore. She reset the. She was there earlier. She just reset the Wi-Fi.
They had to buy all new phones.
It shows up, but it won't actually work. Like, it'll show that it's connected, but it.
Connection's lost. Yeah.
We'll be back.
Okay.
About 15 minutes.
Who do we use? Conoco?
General manager's report, please.
There's been quite a bit going on related to fire planning and planning with the county related to upcoming potential land development projects. We'll talk a little bit about that on our agenda item coming up related to the master plan for the fire department. But I did want to just, because most of everything that I deal with lands on the agenda, to rehash it up front in the general manager's report is kind of a double time suck there. So I did include with your agenda the information about LAFCO. And I do want to report that the LAFCO members voted unanimously to move forward with the appointment of a special district selection committee. And that would be to include special districts on LAFCO. Because there was no agreement to split the cost by the statutory amount of one-third, one-third, one-third of participating in LAFCO, they had to do a contingent action, which meant that the executive officer for LAFCO is going to work with the districts and the city and the county to come up with an agreement on how the cost would be split. And once that occurs, then it can go to the Board of Supervisors for ratification and everything can move forward with the selection committee. So we probably in May should have on our agenda to actually, if we want to bring a candidate forward for LAFCO, we would want to have that on our May agenda. And LAFCO will have two positions that would represent special districts. And then each, it would start with the board presidents until that selection committee did their job. And whoever was selected of the elected officials would then serve. And let's just say we had our board president as that member, we would also have an alternate. So that's upcoming. The LAFCO did approve their budget. They increased their budget a little bit because they're doing a lot of municipal service reviews. They're going to contract out for some services that they've traditionally done in-house, but they don't have enough staff to be able to do it, so they're going to contract out for some of the planning services related to LAFCO. Anyway, it looks like that has good support and will move forward.
Excuse me. So if I'm reading this correctly, there was a bit of a dispute over the cost sharing. Is that likely to get resolved? I mean,
yeah.
Have you been involved in the
discussions? It's I have been. Coming into it, the special district proposed an 8% portion, like the city of Sonora. Right now it's 92% county, 8% city, so we proposed to come in at 8% like the city, and because that wasn't the one-third, 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 it has to go to a negotiation. There's a statutory process for it. It's not a controversy, it's more of just a procedural thing. I think it will be more than 8%. you know, I think that's going to occur. I think there'll be more in line of maybe, I mean, I'm just guessing 20-25% with the city staying at 8% and then the county paying the rest. I'm just assuming. But we had planned, when we first talked about this, we had planned on a third of the cost. And that third of the cost is then split between the 17 districts.
Right.
By a board member.
I'm just curious if it's going to, so it's not a hang-up, it's just the procedural.
Yeah, procedural division, yeah. Otherwise, it could have been approved. So I'll just go ahead and move on to the operations manager's report. Is Louis around?
He's coming right now.
Louis, you're up.
See you later. See, we both enjoy our
pink cups. I told him what you said about the pink cups.
Manly cups.
You like to hide your.
Yes. Not on the board today.
It's your turn. It's your turn. Lou, go ahead.
Yeah.
Have on the screen for me.
Well, we've been having a little bit of.
Just reset it, so that's why.
I guess all I was asking, does anybody have any questions about the report?
No.
I think that might be the easiest way.
No, I would like to say that the format that you've changed to, it seems like it's evolving, and it's very good. It's easily read. It's got a lot of good, hard information out there.
Like the rainbow
and that's,
stuff, yeah.
That's good information, Louis. It's a lot mm-hmm. better than what... It's getting better every month.
Yeah.
You're evolving it, and it's great.
So the rotor strainer is up and running now?
It is. We have two drums. It's always been running.
Well, yes, I'd be that. It's fully
operational now. But the problem with that is when they did that repair, they noticed the screens actually have holes in them. So, and how that works is there's a blade that sits against the drum when it spins to collect all the solids. If there's a rough spot or a hole, that blade eventually might catch it,
mm-hmm.
and then that's going to be really, really bad. So, we're watching that. And luckily, it's kind of fit anyways, and it doesn't hit all the time in that one spot, so I think we're going to be okay for a minute. Other than that, we had a Don Pedro pump came out to attempt to pull the turbine this last month, and when I got there, Hetchy installed some new equipment a few years ago, and it actually made it more of a process for them to pull the equipment because they couldn't remove that because Hetchy has it attached to the bottom of the mountain tunnel, which is about 600 feet down.
Yeah.
So it can't just be pulled out, and it's literally solid. They welded the pipe together as they put it down, so it's not sections. So anyways, they came up with a good plan. They got out there, and they were able to pull it. They finished it yesterday at noon. So it is on the other side of being repaired and hopefully back here soon.
That was the Big Creek?
That was Big Creek, yep. So... that, let me see, we had a couple projects. The dry bed project was finished, and actually Greg was down there yesterday spraying some tool around, and that's kind of why yesterday, I don't know if you drove by this place, it was a little right because of that, because pretty much they got in there, and they scooped all the wet to put it on the concrete and dry it out, and it's just kind of, it breaks the crust on it, and it smells pretty good for a while.
Don't want to break the crust.
No. Definitely. So, all the information, documents that we need for the valve job was received, so I believe we're going to be starting that job on the 20th of this month. They had some emergency repairs for the county to be stepped in to do before they come here, so that'll be another big project for the district. And that valve is operated during high-flow events. Holidays, or if the plant's upset in any way, we can divert it to reservoir one. And as of right now, we only have one valve, and so luckily that one valve's in there. But we'll leave you guys two, and so we'll have all the new stuff be put in. It'll be more secure and rigid, and we'll be good to go. Other than that, that was kind of our big stuff.
Let me ask a question.
Yes.
Yeah, how's the sewer system maintenance plan, the big document that you had to go, how's that, is that helping you, or are you working with that on a monthly basis, or?
Yes, we actually, we puked it out, and we We do our monthly flushing areas. We try to hit as much as we can. Our camera, when we push anything, we record all that information. We actually just went over the training for the SSMP with the staff, and everybody knows where it lives now. And so the new maintenance schedule came out, which we're pretty much starting to go into effect with that. So when they inspect manholes, they will be cleaning the sewer lines in that area when they have a chance to get out there and they're not pulled away doing other stuff. They'll be, so it'll be, say, lift station one's manholes. They'll be cleaning all the sewer lines they can and can get to in that area that month during those manhole inspections. And still doing all of our manhole inspections. We're flushing as much as we can. And we actually just had a contract company come up because we had a roof problem in front of the pharmacy. I don't know if anybody saw
it. I saw you guys out there.
The pharmacy called, and they said that they had a backup in their building. So we went out and cameraed their lateral and our main line and found the whole pipe was solid with roots. And that spot is a problem because when they built that parking lot, they filled it up, and they pretty much took big, giant boulders, and they placed them on the edge of the creek, and they decided to put their connection right at those boulders. So it's about 11 feet deep, and we were able to get this contract company to come up and cut all the roots out, and we used some Rudex the day or the week before. And I think that helped because it softened the root, and it was able to pull it out of the lateral too. So it's a temporary fix. The roots still have access to be good in there. We'll just have to monitor it, and we're going to have to repair that. But it's a 9 foot, and we're going to have to take apart the bank, which holds the parking lot, and it's adjacent to the creek. And so it's not just a little job.
Yeah.
So, big job. You have to get fishing game involved with anything.
We're going to be right outside that, but we're still going to have to take that wall that holds that parking lot up. We're going to have to take it apart. So,
wow.
And wait for the water to subside.
Yes, Bob.
Do we have a start date for the flume project yet?
We have not. I believe we're going to
actually... sure it isn't yet, but I...
we are looking at sending out the notice to proceed, I believe, with... that's what it's day today? On the 15th, I believe. So, yeah. I think we're going to send it out, and then work should start as soon as possible. It's still a little wet out there for heavy equipment on that. And, we were actually out there with the contractors the other day who was probing around to see if there's no more water flowing through it from up top or coming off the bank, so we should be good to go.
We don't have any exposure for, like, having to complete or lose the money or anything.
We have to complete by September or extend it.
Yes, okay.
President Janice, I'd like to know, I like that better to hear. We had an odor problem with Lift Station 7. The summer's coming. Did anything ever get done? I mean, we're going to talk to different people to see about pulling
that
up from going down. Where are we with that?
We go out there and maintain that every week. We pump down, we clean as best we can. We actually just bought some new odor band chemicals and some degreasers, and it's going to help emulsify some of that, and actually it'll take that smell out of the air, hopefully. And we're going to be trying that. We're actually going to be using it at all of our hub stations to give it a test run, because the stuff is pretty expensive. We want to make sure it works before we go out and purchase a whole bunch, but we are moving that way. And it, actually, we just received some odor blocks. We're just waiting for the rest of the stuff to come in, and we'll go and start testing it out.
You happen to dig down there, and you were talking about getting some big trucks to...
We will. Actually, we're hoping to get some cleaning done on our lines, and at the same time they come up and do that, they will hit those hub stations.
Thank you.
So I would have used this company, but we had them inspect a couple other areas first for concern, and day's wage. Mm-hmm. After that, they're gone. So
thank you.
Okay. We also added those. The lift stations, the wet wells for the lift stations to our capital improvement plan that we'll be presenting in May to the board. That is all the projects that we'll be looking at for the future that will be funded by the wastewater fund. And there's some improvement that we could do there to fill the bottom of that wet well up so that it doesn't accumulate. Because the maintenance, the high level of maintenance is more costly than if you fix it.
Is that going to be with grant money? Because that's like a year down the line. Are you talking about?
We'll maintain it between now and then.
Okay.
we'll do the increased maintenance between now and then. And then once we have a project programmed in, we'll prioritize it with everything else. It could be years, depending on what other projects we have going on.
Okay.
Yes, Bert.
On the same subject, I'm surprised. Needing to ask this question, is it being considered for any of our lift stations, do they have any air cleaning apparatuses attachment to them? For example, there are air cleaning machinery that they're expensive. You get up to $100,000. And they're like an air cleaner on your car or anything else. It's a deodorizer. Might even think you get one for here.
We actually had the engineers come out and they looked at it, but you're going to need one for each can and there's two.
I understand that.
So
right.
It was a big cost, and with me talking to the engineer, I felt that it wasn't all that one lift station having the effect in the area that was a concern.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the headworks here was a part of it too, because it blows down this drainage
right
at the evening and it hits there. So we didn't want to put a whole bunch of money involved in this area if it wasn't actually the whole problem. And so we're moving forward with other stuff, and then if that doesn't work, we're going to be looking back into that. And we're actually, with the new headworks that we're trying to design here, it's going to be more of a internal, so the smell won't be escaping out, because it's going to be kind of contained more. And so hopefully we can knock down some of the smell here.
Okay. Any other public comments? Okay, we'll close that to the public. Any director comments? Okay, moving on to administrative service manager's report.
At the last meeting, Director Edwards asked me to report on where we were with regard to being able to apply for the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence. And this is the application and all of the different things. Well, we don't need everything on this list, but most of everything. And we have pretty much everything. We are missing one certificate, so all board member ethics training. And John, you're the only one, and I know you were having computer issues last time, so we just need to get you set up to come in to do that. That's the one box that we still need to check. And then we have an annual disclosure of board member or employee reimbursements for individual charges over $100 for services or products, and it's for meal, lodging when you go to conferences and everything. We report that in our monthlies payables when we have reimbursement, but we haven't actually created an annual disclosure report, and I need to look to see what that actually looks like to create that. And those are the only two things that we can apply for the certificate.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
But you would have that information just from expense reports.
Oh, yeah, we have all the information. I just don't have it in a nice annual report.
Well, thanks. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
You're welcome. The other thing I have to report on is that we, I think about 2 weeks ago, we flew the vacant administrative services tech position that the board approved a couple months back. That actually closes today to receive applications. So hopefully we'll be filling that position in the next couple of weeks. And the only other thing I wanted to say was that to recognize Janice and Nancy, they both received their special district recognition and good governance award. And they were actually presented to them at the Springs Education Day that they went to. So we now have four members of the board who have obtained that.
Along with the fabulous pin.
Yes. So I just wanted to recognize you two for that, because that wasn't actually, didn't make it on our agenda for special recognition, because you had a really special recognition at the conference.
Yes, it was fun.
So, and that's my report.
Thank you. Yes.
It was said at a previous meeting that you weren't going to fill that position until you analyzed the COF report to see if the district could afford another position. So why?
That's the superintendent position you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about the extra administrative staff position. No.
Mm-hmm. I sincerely hope we authorize that position. We need the extra.
Yes, we did.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have been advertising for
it's
it.
It's a superintendent position that the cost study took into consideration, but has not been approved as part of anything to fill yet. But the administrative services tech was.
Okay, any other public comments? Any other, any director comments?
Well, Jennifer, I'll talk to you after this meeting.
Okay. All right, now, yes, ma'am.
Excuse me, how many people applied for that position?
I don't know yet.
You don't know?
They're going in a folder, and I haven't.
Oh, more than one?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jennifer. At this time, do we want to do the... switch over to 5A?
Let's just see if there's any concerns with the consent agenda, and if you can move that quickly, then we don't have to have her wait.
Okay.
But if it's going to take some time, if there are concerns with the consent agenda, then...
Well, we have the president's report, too.
Okay.
Don't forget me. Okay, so just leave it as it is?
I think you're okay. Are you okay?
Is that okay, Katie?
Are you okay with the another 5 to 10 minutes?
Okay. Okay, moving on to the president's report. Mr. Camp had decided that I needed to have more things to discuss at the meeting, so he threw in a president's report and asked me to write something. So, at the county workshop on March 22nd, 2019, I was fortunate enough to be invited by Pete to attend the county's tax assessment meeting on March 22nd. The supervisors, the sheriff, the tax assessor, fire chiefs from every area within the county, the auditor, controller, county administrator, and administrative department heads all gathered to listen and discuss the different tax situations within our county. The TOT, which is the transient occupancy tax, is the lowest in the area at 10%. The surrounding counties have recently raised their transient tax to 12%, and the county is discussing to increase between 11 and 12% as well. Along with the TOT tax, the county is suggesting a sales tax increase. We are one of the few counties in the state that are still at 7.25%. From this, the county keeps 1.25% and the rest goes to the state. A portion of our 1.25% goes into public safety, public transportation, and road maintenance. There is also the possibility of a countywide tax, special tax to fund the fire services. Every department in the county is in need of either equipment, funds, or personnel. The supervisors ask staff to return at a later date with more information and options. So I'm looking forward to attending additional workshops at the county along with Mr. Campa. So, now I have a president's message that I would like to say. I wrote this on April 22nd. After attending the county workshop with Mr. Campa and the March 26th Spring Education Day Conference in Sacramento, I wanted to say how fortunate we are to have Mr. Campa as our general manager. Seeing Mr. Campa working with the county supervisors, the county administrators and staff, and our CAL FIRE chiefs within our county is an eye-opener. The respect is mutual between these government organization employees, and that's difficult to find these days. Pete is a well-liked, but more importantly, highly regarded person by the leaders and staff from the Special District Risk Management Association, California Special Districts Association, and other special districts like us that we have within the state. At this conference, we had instructors and staff and vendors, and more importantly, members of the other special districts telling us how much they appreciated Pete for his leadership and his insight into the world of special districts. We seem to have a well-known, highly regarded man working with us. His ability to gain an accurate and deep understanding of a complex situation and teach us the importance of what is going on is remarkable. The support and leadership he shows to his staff and the board is very much appreciated, and I'd like to add my gratitude for his patience and guidance in an almost new and finally united board of directors, and his knowledge in getting the district up and running correctly. The district was missing this requirement in the past, and since he has joined GCSD, we have begun to get all of our ducks in a row. We, as a whole, have really come a long way in the 18 months, and a large reason for that is Pete Campa. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now,
can I add to that?
Yes, please. Any comments?
Until you got to your middle paragraph, I was thinking I was going to mention, because we just went to a CSDA meeting and then the SDRMA one, and exactly what she said. You know, you'd check in at this, you know, whatever this table, you know, their information, and time after time after time. Kudos to Pete.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
It was really cool. Yeah. It was neat.
And he's our general manager.
Mm-hmm. And he's our general manager, yes.
Yeah, and that was the thing. You are, you guys are from Groveland. You have Pete Campbell?
Yeah.
You are so fortunate. And we both, yeah, we know.
It was really good. Cool. Yes.
So I want to make a remark about the fire. I also went to the Board of Supervisors meeting, and just to be a bit of a wet blanket, I have no idea when they're going to get around to figuring out what to do about the fire system. I mean, I talked to Andy Murphy about it while we were, you know, when they took a break, and it's like, somebody's got to make a proposal. And I'm sorry, I'm a little frustrated with having gone to the meeting and found out that we've had this, spent money on a contractor, and nobody likes the contractor's results, So I don't know. This real serious problem for me is that we don't have a unified fire plan in the county, and that means we have a little problem trying to figure out a unified fire plan for ourselves.
For us,
talking
yes.
about this later, but it was certainly an interesting meeting. It really didn't get very far in terms of getting anything done.
They did direct the work, though, Bob. They did get some.
Oh, they did.
County staff is moving forward. We had the fire chiefs met yesterday. And they're all united, have submitted
good
budget information for each district, each entity. Don't hesitate to correct me if I miss something, but that information is going in, being compiled to look at what a measure might look like. And they do intend to have this on the ballot in March of 2020. That is that, and so everything else works out.
I sincerely hope that happens.
I believe now that they were able to get the information from each entity and stakeholder and cooperator, they then could go forward and see how did they get what they need to
see. You have to start with a proposal. You have to start with something that says, this is what we actually need, and then you can worry about how to pay for it.
You know, a parallel track they've got.
If we've gotten there, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
They sent out the request for proposals just this week as well for the special tax consultant. To put the measure together and make it legal and analyze how to get it done.
Is there going to be another follow-up meeting?
Yes, they didn't have a date, but yes, there will be.
Okay, because I'd like to be able to start going with some of those too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll let everybody know.
Okay.
Okay,
moving on to the consent calendar.
I move that we approve the consent.
Consent.
And I'll second that motion, by golly.
Okay, do we have any questions from the public on any items on the consent calendar? No? Okay. Then all in favor?
Aye.
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 Lord.
I know, wow. Amazing.
Wow. What?
Okay.
Yeah.
I know. Okay, moving on to old business. Item 5A, the adoption of resolution accepting the compensation survey prepared by Coffin Associates and directing the development of an implementation plan for revised salaries.
We have, Katie, can I go? I think you're the last one, right?
Yes, perfect.
those K words get tough. With Kaufman Associates here, Katie was with us before when we reviewed some draft information and talked about the comparator agencies, and worked very hard to get a very comprehensive report that we have internally reviewed and reviewed, and so she's here to present that. And I need to get, you got to give me about 3 minutes to get the PowerPoint out. It's been a really busy day.
Thanks.
I can go ahead and get started.
Please, yes.
Okay, move things along. Thank you so much for having me back today. As Keith had said a few months ago, I was here to kind of kick off the study and to get agreement on some of the survey comments, and I'm back to announce the study's complete. And here to present our methodology, you walked through that again, how we gathered the data, our findings and recommendations, and then the intention generally would be just to accept and file the report by the board for future use. So when I was here before, what we needed to decide before we began the study were the survey elements. So we had gone through the process of analyzing surrounding districts to provide similar services with the intent of getting a group of 12 that would have as close of a profile to the size of the district, the types of services provided, in order to get good, solid data on the work being performed, compensation data on the work being performed. So if you want to go to the next slide, we'll talk about the survey elements. So we needed to decide on the comparator agencies, then the classifications that we were going to be surveying, or the benchmark classifications, and then go through the process of data collection, and we worked with the district to ensure that, that the consistent data that we would be collecting met their expectations and customized if needed, but we actually didn't. We kind of went with our normal approach. So I'll go on to the next slide, and just to revisit, these are the 12 comparator agencies that we collected the market data from. So again, other districts and special districts that provided similar services to get an array, again, in the geographic proximity as much as possible to represent your labor market. And then before we could begin collecting the data, we needed to get agreement on, so almost every employee probably walks home with a slightly different benefit package depending on their personal situation. And so we can't survey all the possibilities of benefits. What we want to do is create a consistent profile that we feel is going to be the most relevant data to the majority of employees. And so when we're looking at the classic tier or the retirement information, what we do is we survey the classic tier, or the tier that an employee would receive if they were part of the PERS system before PEPRO was enacted. And the reason we do this is because most employers approach, or most agencies approach this, a study like this from a recruitment retention standpoint. They want to make sure that they're competitive to attract a quality workforce and to retain a quality workforce. And so we find that when we're trying to measure differences and competitiveness between agencies, that the classic tier is still the most relevant tier to look at. So this represents, if I'm already in the PERS system and an employee of the district, and I leave the district or I'm hired on by the district, this is going to be the tier that I'm going to fall into and the benefits that I would receive. Other than that, any new employees who are not in the PERS system will fall under PEPRA, and there's actually no differences in retirement benefits between agencies there. So we still feel it's important to collect information on this classic tier. We're going to collect information on an employee who's completed 5 years of service, and this is most relevant when we're looking at leaves and vacation primarily, because it's often tiered the longer that you're within an organization. And when we look at health care benefits, we surveyed what the employer would contribute to an employee plus family for benefits. So again, we have a consistent profile that we're collecting information on from agency to agency. So we've been through the process of exploring within each of the 12 comparator agencies their compensation system. And what we provided to you for each of the benchmarks, the 10 benchmarks, were a data sheet on the base salary that each of these agencies paid, and on the benefits data with a line-by-line item and side-by-side comparison in each of the different benefits criteria, and then a summary of base salary plus benefits in the form of a total compensation number. And so the top monthly salary begins on page 120 of the report, just to get a sense of what we're presenting. When we collect the data, we find the most consistent reference point within a salary range from agency to agency is that top step. We find no agency can pay more than that, and we can use that data point to create ranges around it, usually falling down from that top step. So we went ahead and collected that information on the spreadsheet. What we've indicated is the comparator agency, the classification title of the match that we made to your benchmark. And those matches are considered very carefully. We go in and we look at the class system and we pull the descriptions and we say, what is the purpose for that, for this classification? What are the duties that are being performed? And what are the minimum qualifications? So what kind of education or certifications or experience are required? And we know that no two agencies are going to be identical in their structure. So our goal is to compile an array of data that's at least 70% similar. So each of those matches, we felt, probably often closer, but at least 70% similar to what's being done here. We then go through, actually, if you don't mind going back one more, we go through and we collect the benefits information, and I talked a little bit about this with the profile, but what we're going to be gathering and what we've recorded on the benefits spreadsheets, which the detail starts on page 129 in the report, is the retirements. So we look at the formulas that are offered by each of the, by the district and then each of the comparator agencies for that classic tier, so what an employee would receive. We look at any contribution that the employer makes on behalf of the employee, that sometimes still exists. We look at any contributions that the employer may have required employees to contribute on the employer's portion, because that tends to be a little bit of a trend. We look at whether they participate in Social Security or deferred compensation. So we're recording any costs that the employer makes on behalf of the employee in regards to retirement. We then look at the insurances and we pick up the amount that's contributed towards medical, dental, vision, long-term, short-term disability, and life insurance for an employee plus family. So that is recorded. This is the maximum that any employer would contribute towards that profile. And then we capture information about the leaves that are granted. So we look at holiday pay, vacation. Again, this would be for an employee who completes 5 years, so at that 6-year accrual rate. And then any administrative or personal leave that is granted to the classification within each of the comparators. And then if there's other benefits, what we're capturing here is the package that an employee would receive just based by sheer employment. So if there's any other benefits that are provided based on the employment relationship, then we would capture that. Auto allowance was one of them. And sometimes there are benefits that are received, but an additional condition has to be met, and those sorts of things we would not record. So this slide is just to reiterate the time that we spend on analyzing and ensuring that we have good solid matches. So and some agencies that do or organizations that do this sort of work send questionnaires to the comparators and they say, well, you please complete this and make the matches. And our experience is that, as you all probably experience, everyone's very busy and they don't really have the time to spend doing a thorough analysis. And so we actually go in, more and more agencies are transparent. You can find class descriptions often, although with smaller agencies, it's not as common. task descriptions online, we look at MOUs, we look at org charts, we look at budgets, we look at their salary schedules, we do that description-to-description comparison, so we're really looking at the body of work and not focusing on titles, which can often be misleading or varying as far as what's actually beneath them. And then follow up with human resources on those questions we weren't able to find. So there's a lot of time spent on this to get good, solid data. And so from all of that, these are the results in very small print. But again, this is on page 118 within the packet. So this is the results for the 10 benchmarks. And so what we're providing here is for each of the benchmarks, the top monthly salary for the district is the first column, the average of comparators. So this is basically looking at all of the matches that were made for that benchmark and dividing by the number of matches that were made. And then we provide to you the percentage that the district is above or below that average. And then we also provide to you the median. So the median is that exact center data point of the data. Most agencies target the median, I will say that. It's also our recommendation to move, set your goal somewhere around the median. Because it is not as influenced by very, very high and very, very low outliers. So usually when you look at the data, you'll see that it's often clustered where most of the agencies pay around that middle point. So we calculated the median, and then we gave you the percentage that the district is above or below that median. And then we also did the same for the total compensation. So this is the base pay plus the benefits. And again, we showed the district's total monthly compensation in the first column under that section, the average total compensation of the comparators, and the percent the district was above or below. And then the same for the median. And you'll see when you look at that very bottom line when we calculate the average of all of the benchmarks, that on average, just looking at base salary, the district was 26.9% below market. And then when we looked at total compensation, the district was 15.2% below market. So what that tells us is that in your benefits package, it was more competitive and it brought you in a more competitive position. So our stance when we would look at that would say, you definitely want to incorporate those benefits in future recommendations. And so we use those percentages. Again, we provided an example in the report of how to use this data in setting your compensation system. And in that example and recommendation, what we did is we used the total monthly compensation percentage and applied that to your top monthly base pay data to come with a market compensation number. And then we'll talk about the next steps from there. The last column on this result summary was just a summary of the number of matches that we had for each of those benchmarks. So sometimes we go in and we just find that the structure of that comparator agency wasn't similar enough. They didn't have a body of work that was similar enough to to the district's benchmark. And so we weren't able to make a match. So you can see in our analysis, we have to have at least 4 matches per benchmark in order to do that statistical calculation, and in all cases, we were able to get at least 7, and in a couple of cases, 10, 12, in a high number. Any questions on the results so far? So then the question is, what does the...
Shall I wait till the end of your presentation?
Yeah,
is my question.
Let's do that.
Thank you.
Because that way, sometimes I do answer some of the questions. The next question is, what do we do with the market findings? So we talked about this. The base salary is 26.9% below median, and again, the range for each individual benchmark ranged from 12.9 below to 55.6 below. And in our professional observations, you should call yourself competitive within 5% of the market. know, depending on your situation. So in this case, almost every classification was significantly below market. And then when we looked at benefits, the range dropped to 2.7 to 36.8% below market. So we do have a classification that was within that 5% that we do consider competitive. And again, every organization has to decide on their own philosophy, and you're more familiar with, you know, how your services and your district operations compare to some of these agencies. And so the next thing that you want to consider is, you know, your market philosophy. Where does the district believe, where do you believe you should fall relative to the market? I spoke a little bit about the retirement benefits, and this slide just summarizes, you know, it's really retirement and health where you were fairly competitive. There were 8 comparators that had a lower retirement formula benefit. There were 3 comparators that did pay a portion of the member contribution, and 1 comparator required a contribution by employees towards the employer's retirement costs. There were 8 other agencies that pay Social Security, so that was actually a high number. We don't usually find that as many agencies participate, but this region must be a factor.
Seems like smaller agencies.
Yeah, tend to do that.
Tend to do that. Every small agency I ever worked for did it.
Did Social Security.
Oh, yeah.
And then only 1 agency contributed to an additional deferred compensation plan. And then in health, dental, and vision, there were 3 comparators that actually had a dollar amount. And what we're looking at here is just the dollar contribution. And, of course, you know, health plans, there are so many variances that go into that as far as competitiveness, and that wasn't really part of our analysis. So the next steps then, and we provided some additional information on this in our report, is, you know, the market data is a useful reference point. What the district wants to do at this point, one of the other observations that we made when we were looking at the range structure in the current compensation system that was in place, is that it was fairly inconsistent. And our recommendations are to put in a kind of holistic range structure so that you can look at the interrelationships between the classifications, both vertically and horizontally, and have some sort of equitable relationship between all of the classifications that exist. So right now, when I was looking at the operators or the field maintenance crews, there were definitely relationships within the series that didn't necessarily mirror best practice. For instance, there was 31% differential between the 1 and the 2 level, which is quite high, and the range, the steps in the range varied in percentage differences between 4 and 5%. So we're recommending that you put in a pretty holistic, consistent range structure that has 2.5% between ranges, 5 steps, 5% between the steps, and that way you can clearly see the intended relationship of each classification to each other using the benchmark data that's been obtained. So we recommend a compensation structure, which you can find on page 149. And then the district will need to decide a compensation philosophy, whether the target is median or some percentage related to the median. We went through the process of using the market median and placing each of the classifications into the range structure that we were recommending. So that whole range placement process and spreadsheet can be found on page 152. And that, again, is just taking the percentage, starting with the benchmarks, the percentage the district was below the market median in total compensation, applying that to the base salary, obtaining a market reference number, and finding the range that is closest to that market reference number to place the employee, or to place that classification in. And then the district will go through, you know, from there, that's your target, but then how are we going to implement it, and can we implement it, what can we physically afford to do? And so we can certainly work with you to create different scenarios. Some agencies try to at least get everybody at least at the step one of the newly assigned range, but that, you know, some of these classifications are pretty far from the market that may not be feasible. Sometimes you need to do it over multiple years, focusing on a higher increase for those classifications that are furthest from the market. So say if they were 30% out at 10%, 10%, 10%, whereas a classification that might be 7% out might receive 2.5, something along that line. So there are different implementation strategies, which we also described in the report for the district to reflect on that. And then, of course, once that's in place, you want to continue to maintain that compensation system, looking at factors like CPI, and equity studies, occasionally.
Thank you. I think what you just said in the last 60 seconds was probably most important to me as a ratepayer in asking the district to, you know, for even assistance on figuring all this out and how, you know, we can get to how we're going to pay for this. The second question is, was there any studies or do you have any information at all as to the demand of these jobs area-wise with the comparative districts that we have, that you have studied? In other words, what's the demand for, say, a general operations manager? Is it high? Is it low? What is historical? And how do we compare at this present time to make a decision on how you start off percentage-wise, giving people, you know, staff raises or whatever?
Well, I know we work all throughout the state, so I don't have data specifically related to this region. And in fact, you all probably have more information about how easy it is to attract and retain employees. But I will say, as you move into management, there's been a tremendous influx of retirements to find experienced people in this field. In particular, we're working in a lot of wastewater industry for a long time. This is challenging to get skilled individuals with solid management experience. It's very competitive.
Thank you.
Okay, excuse me. I want to bring the discussion to the board first, please, and then we will ask for public comment. Okay.
I just want to put a little bit of a framework around what we're doing here. The purpose of this, again, and I outlined it in the staff report, was to get some information that might help us make some decisions related to being able to attract and retain a solid workforce that stayed with us long enough to become trained and competent and appropriately certified for the job, and the fact that we have had so much turnover in so many years, which for every person you bring in, you're tying up another person to train them many times for an entire year, so you're getting half efficiency, and that was a big trend. Walking into a room of all of our employees and the majority of them being here less than 5 years and not being certified at the level of the job, not by their, because they were not getting there, it's just we couldn't attract, we would fly a position and not be able to get a certified employee to apply. So we had to figure out what the deal was. Is it just people don't want to come to Groveland? They don't want to commute from another area to Groveland? It's not enough money. It's not the right benefits. There's a high demand for the market. And it's kind of all of the above. And this is definitely an indicator. And this is one of the main things that is causing us trouble in being able to attract. We've been able to retain for the last year because these guys are, look at them, they're guarding the door now. This is what they do. They're not holding people. They're really excellent leaders. And they're really working with a very young, very hardworking crew to get them up and running. I've managed, I think, about 12 districts throughout the state of various sizes, and I have to tell you, the potential in this district is far beyond what I've seen anywhere else in attitude, ethic, enthusiasm, abilities, capabilities. And so anyway, that frames why we went into this. It was the board's goal to make sure that we understood and evaluated our compensation, our working conditions, and that resulted in the study. I didn't expect it to be that far off. I did think about somewhere between, you know, 15 to 20%. But the market's been, post-PEPRA has been going crazy because there is so many people retiring out and not a lot of people getting into it. So.
Okay, yes, Bob.
So two things. First of all, I want to provide a little historical perspective for the board members who weren't here when we negotiated the last time. You remarked that our current compensation schedule is kind of inconsistent, and that's on purpose. We did that at the last MOU negotiations in 2016. Intentionally, we had what we regarded as a limited amount of money to work with, and we negotiated to make, you know, some adjustments in the higher skill level, certification level positions at the expense of the entry level positions. We had probably continue to have a situation where the only people we can hire are inexperienced entry level people, and then we train them. And so the union and management agreed at the time, given that we had so much money to split around, just to, you know, there is a separation for sure between the level one, you know, the kind of employee range, and the two, and then the three. And I think when we come to review this, while I appreciate the theoretical idea of having internal consistency, we still have a limited amount of money to work with. So just when we start talking about this, bear that in mind. This was not a mistake. This was actually done on purpose. The second thing is, I have a question for you, and I asked Pete about it yesterday when I was looking through this stuff, but I'll ask you. I'm looking at some of the comparator things, and I like your methodology, and I think everything is fine, except how could you not find a comparable for chief plant operator at TUD or Amador Water District? They have to have a chief plant operator.
I would imagine that the body of work didn't measure comparably as far as maybe the...
It's chief plant operator.
Did you get, did you get my response?
I did.
Okay, sorry. All right, I sent it last night, and I went into quite a bit of detail on it. But for the board's purpose, I have some knowledge of both of those entities, TUD most intimately. The body of work is not right. They have three superintendents that are all at the same level. And the chief plant operator is a state term. Chief plant operator is a designation by the state. It's not a mandatory position. It's just someone within the entity, whether it's a general manager or operator, or has to be certified at an appropriate level and take on that role of chief plant operator. Not very many entities use that term, chief plant operator, and at TUD and at Amador both, they're only responsible for one side of the entity. So at TUD, you've got a distribution construction supervisor, you've got a wastewater superintendent, and you've got a water superintendent. And it's somewhat similar, but from the technical aspects of the job, it's not going to hit that 70% threshold in the job requirements.
In some cases you did things where you took two different positions that were similar, as for example the wastewater and water treatment superintendent. And I mean, why wouldn't the two of them together approximate our chief plant operator? I mean, the reason I'm concerned is TUD. It's good to have all of this information, but it's also the fact that TUD is our most persistent competitor because they're right down the hill. And having a gap there, it's just a thing.
I couldn't decide to you exactly why, but I'm happy to look into it again and let you know.
I'd like to see if there's a way to come up with some sort of, for, you know, Amador and TUD, if possible, to kind of, if there isn't some way to come up with a comparable, because while, you know, I don't want to, I'm not trying to just cherry pick and say we're only going to compare these things, but I think that's an important data point. It worried me that it wasn't there. But I mean, in general, I like the methodology.
Well, I'm happy to go back and look into that and keep maybe looking forward.
Yeah. Yes.
Any other questions, directors? Yes.
I just have a comment. It doesn't surprise me that we're that far off, you know, we're that far below the averages. It really doesn't. We've been looking at this a long time, and, you know, our employees have been suffering a long time without the correct amount of pay. So it doesn't really surprise me. I just hope that you can figure out a way to fix it and start retaining our employees. We've lost key employees throughout the years, and every time we lose a key employee, it just really sets this district back. We cannot stand to lose any more key employees, so we really need to take care of them.
I want to point out that it's been, going through this report, it's been coming up on 3 years since employees have received raises, salary increases.
They get a COLA.
They didn't.
They get a COLA.
We don't get a COLA.
No, they don't get a COLA.
Did you
negotiate?
No COLA.
They have not gotten a COLA or anything.
No.
Plus, they took a 10% cut a while back. It was years back. The employees took a cut, and they've never regained that. So, I mean, they're way behind, and it doesn't surprise me at all.
55% in some cases.
Yep.
Okay, any other director comments?
How does the MOU play into this?
It will be discussed at the table with the union.
But, I mean, the MOU discussions soon.
Yes.
We've got the information on where we stand. Doesn't that kind of give us a plan of action? I mean, don't we have a specific time frame to come into a resolution to this that where we can develop a method to employ this? Or how are we going to use this to, you know, help the employees and get it into the MOU? We're obviously trying to retain the staff that we've got. We've got to try to improve that, I hope.
It goes hand in hand. It's a tool that you use in the negotiation, and that the term of the MOU is up at the end of the fiscal year, June 30th of this year. So obviously the goal would be to have a have the negotiations and as part of the new budget, we have a new MOU, and I'm certain that this will be part of the conversation in that.
Okay. We open the questions to, or comments to the public, please.
Questions?
Possibly.
It said questions if you're on the thing there. Can I ask a question?
You can ask her a question.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yes.
You said comments,
yes.
So I just
Sorry.
Want to make sure.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I've got a couple questions or comments here. First of all, you stated that San Francisco was within 70% similar as a comparator. You said
body of work. That's what we're focused on.
What do you mean body of work?
The duties that are being performed, the education, the experience,
certifications,
the purpose.
I do want to state for the record that personally myself and some people I know are opposed to your agency using San Francisco as a comparator. And even TUT, we are a smaller agency with less customer base to give revenue to pay those kinds of salaries. So myself and others do not understand how it works into this whole thing, because if you're going to take a district with 3,000 people and compare it to San Francisco, that's about how many people? And they are supporting the revenue that comes in to pay larger salaries. Does that make sense?
Of course.
So why do you use San Francisco? Just, you know.
My understanding is that there are employees of the PUC that are within the region that you're competing for. So to have them as one data point in the array of data points to represent that competition was important. They're providing similar services, they have work that is similar, and the potential for in potential employees in the market to work for them versus for them.
I understand the competition part. I don't understand how we could match salaries to San Francisco, because that'll put us under the ground.
Let me try just a second. The point of this is to determine if we're competitive, in what ways we're not competitive for hiring and retaining people. That's the reason for doing the study. You're getting confused by the term comparator agency. Maybe you should say competitive agency or potential competitor or something like that. We want to be, I'm not trying to diss your term, but it's the idea is these are agencies that both offer the same kinds of jobs as we do, so people might look at going there as opposed to coming here or vice versa, and that are also close enough geographically that they might represent a competitive situation.
They do.
I mean, that's
but
the whole. This isn't an issue of how do we pay for it, or can we afford to pay for it, or are we going to match their salaries. They are one of the people that compete for. We've lost people to Hetch Hetchy, okay? I mean, they are a competitor for our employees. We can't ignore that fact. They're part of the database. That's why the tables are tables and the averages are just averages. I mean, the thing we need to look at is how do we, which ones are we really worried about? How we're going to have to make a careful determination about how to try to address that. We cannot, obviously, close up our 25% gap on average, and that's just with the median, right? I mean, we can't even get to the median on a lot of these because we can't afford it. I mean, but we need to figure out what we can do, and this is telling us what our competitors do. That's the whole point of the study. It's not, we can't ignore them just because we can't afford to compete with them. We still need to know what's out there.
They're competing for our employees, and that's what the competitors are.
Excuse me.
And that's what they're doing.
Stop. We're not going to have any of this. We've got too much stuff to go through, so we're going to let John finish his statement.
Did he not have his turn? Can't he have his after I'm done?
Excuse me. Bob was talking, and now John is talking. We will come back to you, I promise. Okay, but please don't disregard what he's saying by interrupting him. John, please continue.
So, I mean, basically, what we're looking at is agencies that can actually, our employees will go to and work for. Mm-hmm. And they will go and work for Hetch Hetchy in a heartbeat. And I would, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, you cannot never blame a person for wanting to better their lives and provide better stuff for their family. And the way it is, we're way below, and we need to fix it. And but we have to tough it up. We've got a lot of problems in this district that we have to work on, and this is a balancing thing. We're never going to be able to get to San Francisco's wages. It's obvious. We're not going to be able to do that. But we can get closer to keep our employees here. We've got dedicated, awesome employees, and we need to keep them. And by God, you're consuming water. You're drinking the water these people are working on and getting ready for you to drink. Spend a little money on your health.
I just want to talk about the competitiveness of other agencies. When you go take a certification now and you pass the test, they actually give you a sheet to fill out to send back to them to get on a list. And that list is for anybody that has the same wastewater and water. They can send out job applications or a job flyer, and you get them in the mail. And you go into this Hetchy thing is, we can't compete with their wages. We can't, right? But when you have Hetchy employees at the water plants saying, hey, come work for us. We have a job open here in Moxon. When the employee here is making $22 an hour, and they're saying, come down there, you can make $51. How do we retain those people? And it's the family orientation that we have here, how well we're connected, and that's how we're keeping people.
Another word I want to bring up is frustration from all of our staff here is because we haven't had a cost of living. Every time we do an evaluation, I tell these guys, you guys are doing a great job, but we're status quo. We're going to stay where we're at. Just keep your head up. One day we're going to get out of this, right? At one moment, that $51 an hour for having not even, they have doubling the qualifications that they need for what they have here. You know, really on a grade one making $51 an hour. Well, here grade two makes 22. So at one point, we're going to have to figure something out because frustration is going to go big on these guys working here, working their butts off for us, and it's just, it's not right. It's hard on these guys. Seriously, because we're chasing out, we're putting out fires all over the place, and it's just all of our infrastructures behind, our technologies behind, everything is behind. And it's just bad.
Okay, yes. Jennifer. Yes.
The other thing, just a comment that I want to make, which gets brought up a lot, is, you know, GCSC only has, you know, 3,000 customers and Warren don't serve 10,000 customers. Or that's only relevant for, which is very important, with regard to the revenue to help support that. The number of constituents that we have doesn't change the same level of qualifications required to perform a job. And that's what we have to look at. It's, the state doesn't care that you only have this level of constituents to pay for. These guys have to have the same exact requirements as any other larger agency. And that's where the issue is. The job is not less work. There's not less requirements because you have less customers. And the skill level, the point is we have a special district here that requires a certain skill level that you're never going to get away from. You're not going to not have certified operators. You're not going to have not competent people in the administration knowing how to, what to do with the dollars. You're never going to get away from that. And that's the challenge, is we have a small number of constituents to pay for that. But the bottom line is you need that level of experience in order for this district to function, period. And that's just the reality of the situation. You're not, and how do you come to some happy medium with that? Because, and I understand, and a lot of people for some reason think because we're a smaller district that we don't need to be as smart as the other people at the bigger districts, so we don't need to have, you know, the same qualifications, and that's not, the only relevance is, yes, we don't have the base to help pay, or it doesn't hurt as much to do that. But the point is, you have a special district, you have a water treatment facility, you have a sewer treatment facility, you have state regulations, you have all of these things that you have to have competent people running, and there's a price to be able to employ those people so that you have and can provide the service to the community. And I just wanted to state that for the record.
Thank you very much. Very well said.
The job responsibility of the district is to provide services within the regulations, within the health and safety standards and everything that we have to do. There's no fudging on that. We've talked about that. It's not a matter of, well, just don't pay attention to it. Just, you know, just deal with it. Mm-hmm. Just deal with it. The most difficult systems, the most difficult water systems, sewer systems, and administrative systems that I have ever been involved with are the smaller entity. The smaller they are, the less money they have to invest in things, and the dilemma that happens is that you, in many cases, you don't invest at the top, you don't invest at the bottom, and you never get your service done, and pretty soon you're about ready to walk away from the thing because you can't sustain it. We can sustain the dilemma that we're having is we're going to be in a period of constantly training additional employees. And that is going to reduce our ability to be able to address the key issues, which means we're going to have to hire more people to fill those gaps. And we'll be hiring people that have to be trained by mm-hmm. the people that are already training someone else. Mm-hmm. It's becoming a real problem in the industry. It's not just GCSD. And You know, and we have a good system, but we have an extremely complicated system. It's really difficult, and so it takes a lot of time to get up to speed. We'll talk. In reality, the next step is implementation, budgeting, and all of that. Today, in reality, the focus is the study. Does the study give us the information that we're looking for? And some of those entities like San Francisco on many of these job classifications, because if we look at the median, they're not even part of the equation. If their salary is $19,000 and everybody else is $13,000, they're not even in the equation. It's not an average of with them in it. They're moved out because they're at the top.
Thank you.
And then the $4,000 one down here at the bottom is out. And then you got six left in the middle that are somewhere between 11 and 13. You know, and that's so. In some cases, they pay less. In certain positions, they pay less than the average. So it's just kind of it depends on what it is. But we're looking at the study. Does it give us what we want? We do have some additional implementation steps. We're hoping to move forward with Bob to help us with that. There's a salary schedule that's included because it's moving into a different type of salary structure, and moving forward with coming back with some implementation strategies. How do we do it? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. We're at perfect time as far as budget to be able to have those conversations.
I think it's a good study.
I do too.
Yes, sir.
Is this report going to be available to the public?
It is.
It is.
Yes.
On the website?
It's on the website through the packet, but I can put it in a separate, if the board would like that, on the homepage. That's easier.
Sure. Yes, Ronnie.
Will we be able to link it to the district's social media for public use to avoid transparency issues?
Yeah, it's out there. It's a public document. We can do whatever we...
Mm-hmm. It's on the website. Mm-hmm. Just link to the...
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to close.
Wait
the...
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes, okay. Well, I thought maybe perhaps his comment answered your question.
I'd like to make a statement here.
Sure.
I was in the union. I think every person should get paid a fair amount. What frustrates me, and I think this board and other people and employees might not understand, is when I see $11,000 being spent on video equipment, maybe that money should be used to pay salaries. That's where I'm coming from, because the salaries and the safety is more important than video equipment. So I look to see where money is being spent. That's my right. You're my district too.
Absolutely.
You guys are my district too. So I think instead of frivolous, what I call frivolous spending on things that you don't need, that money should go towards salaries because you're going to need to do that. So you don't want to have to go out and use bond money for salaries. I don't know if you can use bond money. So when I see the study and I see San Francisco paying this amount, it is extremely concerning that you're using San Francisco, but you did explain it. So thank you, and you did your piece. But I have to ask the question. It doesn't mean I'm opposed to you increasing people's salaries.
Okay.
Okay? I just want to make that really clear.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We're going to close. Public comments, please. Do any other directors want to make any comments before we go to the next step?
I move to adopt resolution accepting the compensation survey prepared by Coffin Associates and directing the development and of an implementation plan for the revised salaries.
Oh.
Go ahead. No, sorry.
Yes.
Discussion.
Yes.
We moved. We need a second. Sorry, I'm not seconded.
Would anybody like to second this?
Okay. Yes, I'm seconding it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, discussion.
Well, I'm slightly concerned, as I mean, I kind of expressed my concerns earlier about the item three. No, wrong. Two, accepting and approving the Appendix 3 salary schedule subject to an implementation plan. I'm not sure that the COF plan is internally consistent, but I don't know if that's what we really want to do. I'm fine with working on an implementation plan. I'm less fine with having a resolution that says that we accept the proposed thing as a basis.
Would you like to change the motion to working on a compensation plan? Implementation plan?
Well, I mean, if you look at what's in the resolution, it says, I'm sorry, I know you want to make a comment. Accept the Appendix 3 salary schedule, and there also says approve establishing salary ranges at the total compensation study median. Now, that's a good objective, but even, as you said, in many cases, we can't get there. We can't just change to that right now. That would be...
What page are you on?
I'm at the resolution.
It's on page 153.
So items 2 and 3, I don't have a problem with attempting to establishing target ranges that aim towards getting people to the median or something like that. But, I mean, this is a pretty strong statement here. This is a resolution.
I was just going to comment on the salary schedule itself. It was just establishing that framework. And then, of course, the interrelationship that the district decides to adopt moving forward can vary from our recommendation. But to go to your point that you very purposefully created some of these differentials within a series to reflect the district's own situation, you could continue that philosophy if that's where you landed. The salary schedule itself is just a structure in which to incorporate your final philosophy.
No, I understand that. It's just that what this is saying here in the resolution is that we're pretty much adopting that structure and planning to implement it, and as it stands, and that's what the resolution says. And I don't agree with that. I think we're going to have to tweak it some. I'm not trying to say, I mean, I'm fully, it would be a great schedule. You know, getting to that point is going to take a while. And in the interim, we have to have a schedule to negotiate for the MOU that represents some kind of a intermediate step between where we are now and moving towards a better compensation package but where we can still kind of handle the financial burden.
Would it work are you adverse to the whole resolution or changing accepting
to I'd like to have it be, you know, I adopt the plan.
What would you recommend? Bob?
I'm just saying, I like the report. I like the methodology. I think it's very useful. I think it's premature for us to adopt, to indicate that we're planning to move towards that framework until we have a chance to talk about what our financial constraints are.
I don't see it that way. I see it as we're adopting the plan, but then we have to, I mean, to do any changes to salaries or anything, the MOU's got to be opened up. We're going into negotiations soon. All that's going to be happening, and all that's got to go together before we can come up with a plan. So I don't look at it as this is we're going to go rock solid with their plan and go to the medium and say, okay, we're raising all our salaries to that medium. I don't see it that way. I see it as a guideline, and it's something, maybe a goal that we'd like to get to, but we might not get to that exact goal yet. We might be a little bit lower than that or something. Who knows? But I don't look at it as that set in stone. I look at that as something we have to negotiate with the union, and we have to decide as a board, are we willing to live with this? And, you know, it all comes down to some of the finances and stuff. I mean, it's plain and simple. We're going to be asking for rate increases here for all the things that we have to do in this district. We've got fire department. We've got all kinds of stuff we have to think about right now. So we're going to have to ask for rate increases. So all that's got to be discussed and figured out before we can come up with the plan. So I don't look at this. I look at it as a guideline.
Look at it as a resolution.
We can change it if you have an idea.
The exact language. Okay, the exact language.
Okay, let's listen, Ms. Spence.
And I'd like to say that we're accepting and approve the Appendix 3, the salary schedule, subject to our implementation plan. We haven't made the implementation plan yet. So I understand why you would be concerned. That's valid.
You want to change that, Bob?
And I understand why you would say, well, we haven't done our implementation plan yet.
Right.
So maybe that statement does cover all of what you're concerned about. I'm just bringing that up.
I'll change my deal.
I like the framework, as she said, the framework is good, and as I read in the report, to change that, you just have to change one number, and the whole thing goes brrrr, and changes the whole plan.
Okay, my turn. Mm-hmm. A resolution of the Board of Directors of the Groveland Community Service District accepting the compensation survey prepared by Coffin Associates and directing the development of an implementation plan for revised salaries. That's the resolution, and that seems to be exactly what we're all looking for, right? That's exactly what we're looking for. Can we wipe out everything else and just change the resolution to what the title states?
I would be happy to strike number two just for the time being. We're not ignoring it. It's just take it out and insert on number three, approve establishing target salary ranges, and then go on with the implementation plan. I mean, we need to move forward. I got no problem with including
right.
that.
I
agree with that.
I think even on two, if we just kind of have it not sound like it's such a hard, flat, fast, this is what, use it as a guideline. Accept the Appendix 3 as a guideline to create our implementation.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Yeah. I don't really I like the study. I think it's going to be very useful.
Absolutely.
That's fine with me. I'll change that.
So what's the final motion here so we can...
So we're removing approve from number 2 of the resolution. And we are adding...
establishing target salary ranges.
What number is that?
Number three.
Okay, so...
With that, I just don't want to... I feel like the original language is a little restrictive.
My tip was more aligned with what you said.
We're on page 153.
I've been reading too many
Okay, so...
On the bottom. The number's K. At the bottom.
Well done, sir. Thank you.
She'll read it. It'll get read again.
From number two.
So just
removing
accept.
That. So we're so it'll just say accept the
number three says approve
establish
two
target. Take out and approve.
In number two, yes.
Accept.
Right.
Take out number
accept
two.
The salary schedule.
And in number three.
Appendix 3 salary schedule subject to implementation.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Thank
number
you.
Three is approve establishing target salary ranges.
Target.
So basically, I'm going to approve the resolution with the exception of modification.
If you accept his modification and then the Spence accepts the modification,
yes.
You can just vote.
Okay, you can accept that modification.
Okay, now can we call a vote for this resolution, please? All in favor?
Aye. Favor moving forward.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Katie. It really is.
Appreciate
a lot of work.
Item
number.
We have Daniel Richardson with the county that has joined us. He happened to be in the area, and he can speak to the property adjacent to
what number
is
that?
Adjacent to the park on item I6.
Okay, we're going to sit on the rest of item 5 and jump down to discussion and action item number 6. And we'd like to welcome the gentleman from Tuolumne County. Where did you go?
There
he is. Okay.
The podium side.
Thank you very much.
I want to see
this.
Speaker's entrance.
Six I.
Yes.
So I have to apologize. I really just placed this on the agenda because this didn't come out that long ago, so we haven't had a chance to have a conversation. Daniel and I haven't talked about this project, the process, the property before. It was just a couple days ago, but so I put it on the agenda because it's timely. They've got a closing date coming up, I believe, on the 18th for the initial process with public agencies. Daniel can address a little bit of background about the property, but it just happens to be directly adjacent to the park.
Can you put up the picture?
Yeah, I will.
So we can actually see the outline.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, it did come out.
The pretty colors, red, you mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't see
it. 235,
Pete. 235.
What page?
235.
235.
A big packet. My
yeah,
God.
I know.
Who came up
with that?
Close to an SDR on the
impact.
I did.
Why am I having trouble? I'm almost there.
Doesn't count that
much. Yeah.
I'm going to pass
it.
Common land.
You're on 234.
One. There we go. Common land.
Oh,
okay.
It's still not red in this one.
Yeah, it's not red.
No, I'm crying.
And your point?
You just go up there and point up to it, Pete. Point.
I have one that's red, just didn't copy. No, you can't see it. Hang on, you're going to have to give me just a second to pull it up.
Sure, okay. Go ahead, take your time, it's worth it.
I know I've got it.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right now.
Did Mike come and get a cookie?
Mm-mm. Oh, you guys need your cookie.
I don't know, I just think
yeah, that's fine. That's what it's all about, man.
Are all the cookies the same flavor inside? They're just different colors.
This is good.
Can somebody hand me a blue one? I feel like having a blue one.
Some technology here. And we can talk about the property.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, let me just describe this. The county has property.
Bob?
I'm Dan Richardson. I'm the general services director. I've been with the county for 21 years.
A little bit of time?
I've sold a lot of property in Groveland, actually.
Great.
So this is a lengthy process. It's set up by statute. So it's nothing the county came up with, but it's a lengthy process. When we have property that someone expresses interest, then I talk to the board of supervisors, we get it appraised, and the first people we offer to is public agencies. And so we sent notice to Pete, and he then put on your agenda today. So there's a public agency bid opening. If you guys are interested in it, you notify us by the 18th. And then if you are not interested in it, then it goes to the private side, the private people. They're also looking at it right now. This property is bounded by, you know, Mayor Lavaroni Park, by Mr. Castoretto on one side. You have the creek on the downslope. And it doesn't abut up to the railroad grade, but it's getting close to that. So it's a slope, brushy piece of property. It's common land, which means nobody ever owned it. Except for the federal government. When the land rush happened, nobody wanted it for some reason, so the county kind of assumes that property, and then we sell it when people express interest in it. I've sold common land all over the county. Usually it's alleyways and little odd pieces. So this is a pretty decent piece of property because it's, you know, 0.4 acres. We had it appraised for $33,000. So that's kind of how the process works. If you express interest, you'd let me know via letter, and then we would take it to Board of Supervisors and go through the sales process.
Okay.
Hey, there's the red outline that I think on.
What'd you do on Google Earth?
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's,
you do what you can.
Now we can at least see the Groveland Fire Department, and Louie has spent a little bit of time out on this property. And what looked really attractive by Google Earth looks a little bit different when you're out on the site. Louie, just you want to describe a little bit about what it.
Well, it's pretty much creek for the most part. And like he said, there's three properties that pretty much are any access getting into is by Leonard Casgrove's storage unit. Mr. Edner's place where the farmer's insurance company's at, and then the fire department driveway. That, or the lower apartment on the other side. But all in all, that's kind of...
That's that driveway.
Here.
This,
which driveway is that?
This driveway, that's the fire department driveway.
And then there's the curves or whatever driveway.
Here, yeah.
Or Edner's property.
Which is...
I mean, not Edner's, Casgrove's property, but that storage unit.
Is that actually, is that panhandle actually part of it? Or is it an easement? Do you have any idea?
It's part of the, it's adjacent to the creek, but it's near the creek.
Okay.
That's the one that overflowed last year.
Yeah, that's actually, if that picture's clear, you can see where it blew out the creek. That was after the flood. But yeah, anyway, so then there's a gate right next to the units, there, right? The storage units there, which has a little road that pops up to the railroad grade that he was talking about.
Which is up, that's up
right
here.
There, I believe.
Right? Right in front of that, right in front of the storage unit.
Okay.
You just go straight out and it goes up to the top there. You want me to point?
Yes.
Yes, please.
But that's outside the parcel that's under...
Right here, yes, exactly. So there's a road here, but Leonard Casgrove owns it, and it's actually got... He had rocks for a while, and I think he still does, but there's a chain and ballards, and the road pops up to the railroad bridge. Other than that, it's the creek.
Who owns the property to the north, sir?
To the east, actually.
No, this is our property going this way and up along this...
Yeah, our property kind of goes up and over and then jogs this way. So, like, we don't own this.
Why don't we?
It's a public...
No, why don't we? I don't know.
Wait a minute. We're not saying we do.
We're just offering. It was originally my recommendation. We're negotiating.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So,
Grace.
At this point, Access. And understanding some of the limitations,
and
the fact that we do not have a master plan that's been updated that shows the need for additional ground, we have a lot of additional ground in other areas that may be easier to get to.
We do have a sewer line that runs right through there.
Right through it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yes, sir, buddy.
There's an easement for that.
And the, is it conducive to leveling off for a big parking area? I mean, you'd have to culvert
the... There's a creek.
It's right by
the... How about the other side of the creek?
There's lots of creek. That's all I gotta say. So, it is a seasonal creek. It's not always running, but...
It can run.
And it is slow. There's a lot of slope to it, but it'd be challenging to build a parking up there.
Yeah.
Yes, Vince.
How about using, Louie, how about using that piece of property as access into the 250 acres GCSD owns in the back?
That's what you would make everybody go through the district firehouse parking driveway.
That wouldn't be good.
And okay, well, I'm just asking.
And, yeah.
Yeah, it would not.
Then you would have to build a bridge or something, so.
I don't think it's worth it.
No. Well, question. What is the process then if the district does nothing and you get no offers for it, then you advertise it for public?
It's already been advertised to the public simultaneously. They just have a deadline a week after the public agency.
Yes. So that was going to be my question. So if we're sitting here batting this around and can't really come up with a why we would need it or how we would use it, similarly, if somebody from the public buys it, what would or could they do with it that would be adverse to us, if anything?
They'd have to give us an easement for the sewer line, that's the first thing.
They can't build a building on it.
They'd have to get access from Leonard,
or
John Edgar, or us to get to it.
And I don't see us granting access through the fire department.
That's kind of where I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
If we think it would be too much, we don't want to have to be mandatory that they would use that if it
and put up a right?
Unless they were going to put a Macy's or something, then it would be worth it.
There's
only one. Yeah, let Ronnie.
Yes. Yes, Ronnie.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned his name several times, right? Yeah.
I'm just curious if you can speak to who has expressed interest. Why are we having this conversation?
There's only adjacent property owners would be the only ones who would legitimately have an opportunity because You gotta have access.
Got it, okay.
Other than that, I won't answer your question.
Huh?
Other than that, I won't answer your question.
I figured it out. It was well skirted.
What's Nicky Nye owns a warehouse?
Casaretta. X Compass Maps. It's hunting.
I'd be willing to bet that the property goes unsold.
Okay.
So my question is, I'd like an answer to Nancy's. That would be my question. If somebody else acquired that land, would it keep GCSD from doing their park plans, building a new park? Or, I mean, you wouldn't use that as an access anyhow, so it really doesn't matter, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's what I thought.
We were looking for the potential for close-in parking for downtown, okay, where people might be able to walk there, drive in and some type,
nice.
Or whether it could be incorporated into some type of a trail project or something. And it does, when you look at the cost benefit, it's not there. There are probably other areas of district property that look better.
Yeah. When you, it's probably one of those things where it looks a lot better flat like this.
Yeah. It's easy to walk across it here.
Really excited.
Well, it's not flat.
Yeah, I bet it goes unsold. I don't think anybody.
No, like you said, there's adjacent property.
There could be an adjacent property owner that would pick it up just to have
goat
space.
This is what happens if there's nothing at the minimum bid.
Then I guess nothing.
Oh.
It just sits there.
Okay, so if you.
I don't have to sell it.
Okay.
It can stay as common land. You can own it and get some deeper tie. If you guys request interest, I could put it back on the shopping block to be sold.
Okay.
Yes, Vince.
Not too long ago, we gave some land to Tuolumne County for a resiliency center.
Offered. Sort of in the process of doing that.
Is there a trade possible?
We have to want the property
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, put that out there, possibly a trade if we want it.
We got this great piece of property for you guys. We're going to take back the one we offered you. We're going to give you this nice
county. Well, we're going to use that property. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's waterfront property.
It would be a potential discussion. If we acted on it, didn't act on it.
We're getting silly when we saw how hours to go.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. I think we could have discussions in the future on it. If Casaretta buys it, then.
Yeah. He's not going to buy it.
Not for that amount.
We don't really have to have a motion here.
No, I made a recommendation that
I just suggest we
say c'est la vie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for driving.
Thanks for stopping
by.
We got to go sit through the whole class and compensation discussion.
The county has coffee, so
come back when you got a bridge to sell us.
Grab a cookie for your trouble.
No.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Enjoy your drive. Okay, we are going to now jump back to item 5B. Adoption of a resolution approving a revised policy providing requirements for district staff use of credit cards for general purchasing.
Okay. So this item was brought at the last meeting, and Kay Crow enlightened us that the district had already a resolution that was passed in 2004 that never made it into the district's operating policies and procedures manual, so we didn't know that the district actually had a policies group regarding credit cards.
I'll bet it's there now.
Thank you, Kay.
Well, if it's approved. So what I have essentially done is I've just kind of tweaked the wording of what I originally brought, which is bringing the same credit card policy that I brought at the last meeting, but you're adopting a resolution that's revising what the existing credit card policy that we have in place is. And the one that we have in place, I provided it via the resolution. It's not even relevant. We don't have any of these cards anymore, and it's, the one that we have is a lot more user-friendly and more characteristic of what you see in general purchasing credit card policies. So what the recommended action is to adopt the resolution approving a revised policy providing requirements for district staff use of credit cards for general purchasing.
I move that we adopt the resolution 11-19. Oops, I seem to find the title.
155, sir.
158 for the resolution.
Yep, 158 for the resolution.
Nope.
31.
I've gotten mine out of order somewhere. Let's see.
Adopt the resolution.
Adopt the resolution approving a revised policy providing requirements for district staff use of credit cards for general purchasing.
I'll second that.
Any comment from the board?
Nope.
Any comment from the public? Yes, ma'am.
Doesn't anybody think there should be a limit, like they had in the past, they had a limit to what you can spend on that? I think it was $10,000, I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah, it was $10,000.
I mean, shouldn't there be a limit?
There's a limit on the purchasing policy.
Yeah,
on the purchasing policy.
What was the $10,000 before? Wasn't that
it's for managers, like the general manager and the
I think it just reflected the general manager's purchasing the discretionary
part of the purchasing policy that works in hand with if you're purchasing something with a credit card.
Any other comments? Okay, bring it back to the board for a vote, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Passed unanimously. Okay, we have gotten to the old business item.
And one new business item.
Yes, and one new. Item 6, discussion and action items. A, appointment of the district representative for the purpose of union negotiations with operating engineers, local number 3.
Bob, this was a point well taken at the last meeting. We started to have a conversation about union negotiations coming up, and so we need to place this on the agenda for some formal action.
Mm-hmm.
And the recommendation, the recommended motion is that myself and the administrative services manager would be appointed. I've always found that it's helpful to have institutional knowledge in the discussions. It doesn't mean, you know, we'll be including there'll be a lot of internal staff discussions about this as well, you know, among the management team as we go forward. In the past, I guess there have been one or two directors appointed to be part of the negotiations, and some districts do it that way. Some of them do it with their attorney or labor counsel be the negotiator. Others do the general manager. So it's really up to
the. We used to have a labor counsel. Please stop answering the phone. Yeah, a comment on that. So I was on Scott Wimmer and I were the ad hoc committee last time. And mm-hmm. And John Sterling were the negotiating team, such as it was. I'm actually fine. You explained last time your feelings about this, and the more I think about it, I think it's probably appropriate for management to do the negotiating or the face-to-face, because I can't remember that I contributed anything to the negotiations other than sitting there. And apparently I forgot all about the fact that we took the COLA out. I'm really sorry about that. I kind of let that in. So I would be personally, I would be so fine with it that I'll move to appoint the district general manager and administrative services manager as the district representatives for purpose of union negotiations with OE Local number 3.
I'd like to second that motion. Any other directors have any discussion? Any members of the public? Okay, let's call for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
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 No, I'll just make it. So, I mean, just for reference for members of the public, the board has to approve the contract, as does the operating engineers. So, you know, we need to probably schedule a closed session here to lay out our
on the May
preparatory thoughts sure. about what for our negotiating position is.
Okay, so now can I call for a vote?
I thought we already did.
Dead. Well, I didn't.
I was just making a comment.
You didn't let me finish saying I approved.
started.
So I thought I had to start over again.
That's started.
Okay.
Bob and me.
Bob. Okay, moving on to item B, adoption of a resolution approving agreement with Granicus. For board meeting and agenda management services, approving the purchase of related video equipment.
Okay. First off, there's a staff report. We've had discussion about this at the last board meeting. One thing that I found particularly interesting and beneficial from this venue, from the Granicus type of a product, is that, for example, Daniel is still here. He'd probably be able to elaborate. The county employees are starting to use it. Like when there's a recognition, they'll be able to put a link right to that segment of the meeting video where there's a recognition, and they'll put it on Facebook that so-and-so is recognized for certification or whatever. Have a picture of them, you know, and then boom, people can go right in. They can share it on their own personal social media page. And there's just some interesting other uses of it that I haven't seen before. It is not cheap. Jennifer said it well at $588 per meeting per year. I mean, you know, you look at the price and you think, okay, that's a lump sum. But when you divide it out by the regular meetings of the board, it comes out to that amount. And when I was with TUD and first recommended this, there was no technology whatsoever. The website was done by a third party. It was clunky. It was extremely hard to get the agenda together. And so with TUD, it really made a lot of sense for them to convert to the electronic format. And they've used it successfully since. You know, it's an easy tool, easy to train on, and, mm-hmm. and get it right, get it consistent every single time. Again, that is it is an expensive solution, but it's a permanent solution for the district going forward to start the process of being able to really get people into the decision making that we're doing, the 15 items we've got on our agenda, and get them to be able to understand what we go through without having to weed through a bunch of stuff and try to pull a video to the right spot, and people get frustrated. Facebook Live, I don't think, is a good deal, just because I don't. We might do it for fun at some point, but it's not really good for business to make people have a Facebook account to do it. YouTube is the next functional thing, but it will take some district staff time, a couple hours for meeting management to get stuff up there and get that posted, and we'd still have to have the video equipment. So my recommendation, whether it's an immediate action by the board or whether it's part of the upcoming budget or whether we hold off for a bit or however you want to do it, is that we look at implementing the Granicus solution. It would be paid for primarily by the water and sewer budgets. There is a portion of it that will go to fire and a portion of it that will go to park, because it will fall in our administrative category and then be allocated out. Mm-hmm. So a very small percentage to park and a very small percentage to fire, the majority of water and sewer. It will be part of the operating expense. So when we calculate our rates and our cash flows and money available for projects, this will reduce that money that's available.
Will this be able to be moved to the Resiliency Center if we want to have meetings over there?
Yes. I'm not absolutely. We're setting everything up, any purchase we make, for portability. Wireless microphone, you know, connected in with the encoder. So as long as we have an internet signal that is capable of carrying that speed, which is not it's just got to have a good cell signal or Wi-Fi. We can pretty much take it anywhere.
Okay. Yes, Bill?
Oh, Nancy's.
Yes, Nancy.
Like three things, if I remember all three now. I agree. I'm kind of concerned about the cost of it, although I love the usability idea of it. Since you just mentioned the Resiliency Center, and that's a county building, any chance we could get them to have to pay for it? You know, I mean, if they're going to be having other meetings and stuff there, just a thought. And then the conference that we were just at, there was like this, I wish I knew more of the details, but it's kind of been like an overload week between 2 days of conferences and then come back home and a day full of reading. But they were actually talking about storing. There's like some new law coming up or just passed or something about storing data.
Oh.
And if you have
video and
digital data, it's going to have to be stored for. Do you remember how long? Anyway, they were talking about the cost associated with that, for people with big districts and like who have a lot of meetings and all that kind of stuff. Like some people were talking, it's going to be costing them tens of thousands of dollars a year to store all of this data.
Trillion million bytes and stuff.
Yeah, in the back and forth of it, one of the comments was, if you don't have it, you don't have to store it. Mm-hmm. I mean,
very true.
But if you've got it, you're going to have to meet that law.
Much of that wrangling has been around security video.
That's why I asked you if we had security video.
I had a feeling that's what it was. I kind of knew right what trainings you were in.
Yes, by my questions I asked.
But that is, and much that's driven by other interests, not as much interest in public processes. It's more media related stuff. You know, they want to have video clips for police department issues and fire issues and different things that they want you to store forever.
Okay, so I have one question, and then a comment. The question being, what is the Granicus Encoding Appliance Hardware? Is that a specialized PC?
It is a digital streaming device.
Okay.
It takes the audio and video and combines it and streams it and takes that information and takes it through the Granicus website. Obviously, when you click on it, you're at Granicus, not at GCSD.org. I can't crawl inside that device to tell you. From a technical perspective, there were some pretty good cut sheets on it. I had to look at it to see about the audio coming into it and video. And so there is more information about it. I don't have the technical details.
Is this like taking the analog and converting it to the digital?
Why isn't the input digital?
I don't know. I remember talking about
you don't have to. I was just curious about that.
It provides playback and fast forward and reverse and that kind of stuff.
So it's basically a PC.
It's like a DVR.
Yeah. All right.
Are you familiar with this device? Because
yeah,
I think your
device is like it.
Yeah.
It's like DirecTV.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
My comment is, so this is software as a service, which means they're going to charge us for the software forever. I'm in favor of the transparency. I think it'd be a good thing to do, but man, it actually is pretty expensive.
$500.
I didn't realize it was that. I mean, for some reason, I dropped a card at Granicus or something at some CSD conference, and they keep sending me promotional material.
Fun.
You're not wearing a Granicus hat today.
No, so they're obviously, their marketing strategy is pretty aggressive. But I looked at it at the comedy. I mean, it is pretty cool. I mean, it works pretty well. But it is, that's kind of expensive. I don't know.
Okay, Spence, your turn.
I have always been concerned about how many people know what's going on at the meetings. You only get a few dozen people that come into the meetings. Now, we just raised sewer rates. We just raised water rates. We're getting ready to raise sewer rates. We're getting ready to raise water rates again. PML's over here trying to figure out how they're going to build their country club. We're getting ready to give them a tax on fire. That gives people out there in the community more ways to get confused on who's paying for what than a farmer's got ways of going to town. Now, we got to get the straight information out to the people so they can see what we're doing. So they can see that we're raising water rates for the reasons, sewer rates for the reasons we are, and we have to put out an assessment or a tax levy for the fire department so we can keep our houses from burning down or repeat a paradise coming through GCSD. And they all think that we're doing something weird because nobody comes here and sees what's going on. What this does is it puts it out there so that anybody with a cell phone can see what we're doing, see where the money's being spent, and see how we're operating the district, because I think we're doing a fair to middling job at it. And I just don't want people to be confused. And that's what happens, is people get confused on who's paying for what and what is an enterprise fund as opposed to what's a tax fund as opposed to what's a grant. And so it becomes confusing, and it's very complex, and it can be. So I'm all for this. Now, if we have to put it off for a budget year, that's fine. I mean, I don't want to, you know, take all the money out of the coffers just to pay for this. I'm not pounding my fist. This is a real good idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, kind of tagging off of that, I agree that, you know, we want to have transparency, but as far as I'm concerned, we have transparent meetings are open, everything goes up on the website, blah, 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 blah. I'm also concerned that, and we had someone already express that earlier today, that, you know, we got to kind of weigh what, you know, transparency, money. We've got a lot of money issue things coming up right now. So I could see we do this, and then we'll just have people complain about wasting money on it. You know, I mean, you know, it's kind of like the damned if you do, damned if you don't type of thing, you know. But then I also have just a slight concern, only just kind of a sort of different topic regarding PML board meetings. One of my friends had talked about, I made some comment that we were thinking about videoing her, and that she was like, oh, I would never speak at a meeting that was being videoed.
But I didn't know what she would never what?
Speak at a meeting that was being videoed.
That's true.
Why?
And I was like, why? And she goes, I just never would.
Did she do it in a little thing where you blot out
their face? What was that fun?
The little thing where you blot out their face.
Yes,
that's right.
But anyway, so there's that too. I mean, are we doing this kind of thinking we're helping the public, and then we're going to have public members who are like, I don't want to be part of that. You know, I mean, it's just, she was adamant, and I couldn't get a good why. Just no.
Introvert.
I would like, although the public comments and videos of the public commenting are so important to the district and the constituents, the main reason to record these videos would be to have the public have access to it immediately and before anybody can get confused and start talking about who's paying for the pool. It's right there in black and white. It's right there. So as far as anybody being not wanting to be videoed, there's plenty of us that do. So
yeah, we'll have plenty of time taken up.
Yes, and it would be in color. So yes, Bob.
So actually, I realize I have one more question, and I don't know, this is something I hadn't tried to look at yet on any of the grant sites. One of the things that they allege that this allows you to do is do minutes really quickly. So
yes.
Do we know what's involved in doing that? Because minutes don't just, they can't, you basically just...
It's verbatim minutes.
You'll hit the, no, it's not. It doesn't, well, it's verbatim, the video is.
Yeah.
And anybody can access any piece of that video by clicking on the agenda item.
So they got a minutes report, though. What is that?
But the minutes report is basically just the agenda itself converted to actions. I mean, if it's approval of a resolution approving a contract with so-and-so, it'll record just exactly as our minutes are. It'll just be done at the meeting. I mean, basically, when Jennifer clicks through each agenda item, mm-hmm. it timestamps it, and
so
it then she'll record the votes, so you, and that's it.
The report displays, like, the timestamps, so you go through the agenda, and you say, okay, I want to look and see what the discussion was on Granicus hardware.
Click
there'd
hardware
be a time frame, you click on that, or link it, and it goes directly to that and plays back then. That would make for better minutes,
mm-hmm.
more accessible minutes.
That there, how much,
save.
I mean, it's going to save some money, you know, for minutes.
Well, to improve the, it would
people
remove are. Some of the public angst over the fact that we don't put all the information in the minutes.
Right.
You could just go get, click right to the part you want to see, and there it is.
We've had the recordings on the website now for a long time, and people still are upset about the fact that we don't.
Well, there's no indexing, though. I mean, if you want to hear about something, you got to listen to the whole damn thing.
Whereas this, you just, like Pete said, you just.
That would be an advantage. I still think it's expensive, but it would be an advantage.
Maybe we could charge everybody $25 to look up their minutes. I'm just kidding. Just
you're on video.
Not yet. Just on audio so far.
Be like Gavin Newsom, charging for everything.
Okay. Maybe. Any other comments? Yes.
Okay, guys. I'm going to say it again. If you'll take the $11,000 from this and some other money that's not important, put it in a salary pool. You have to up your salaries. This is the salaries are more important. If I want to hear something or I'm not sure and I miss a meeting, I go listen to the recording. But most people I talk to, they don't want to. They're not going to spend this time and watch this. They're not going to. So I think it's more mm-hmm. important. You have to prioritize what money you have. And I think mm-hmm. that $11,000 that I just quickly looked at would be better spent on salaries.
So does that mean you're not going to complain about not verbatim minutes anymore?
I've never asked for verbatim minutes.
First time I've ever done it.
I have never asked for verbatim minutes. I have asked for a little more detail in the minutes, but not verbatim, because that's very time consuming.
Yes, ma'am.
So I do not approve of verbatim minutes. But I think anybody that I know that's asked me what's gone on to a meeting, they go and listen to the recording that's already there. So why spend the money?
I could go either way with this.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So I know we all want to be movie stars. But, you know, I have a hard enough time watching the Masters and sitting through 4 hours of golf, 5 hours of golf. I mean, I can't imagine. I really just can't imagine.
You can fast forward.
I do fast forward.
You can fast forward through this.
Even then, it takes me hours. It's just, I agree with Kay in the South. Put it in the salary pool.
Salary
You know, it's just, it's already, all the information's out there already. If you want to get at it, you can get at it. And it's almost easier to skip through when you can read it than video. Video is very hard to understand what's going on in a clip. So even though it's indexed, you know, you're going to find yourself wandering all over the place and looking for stuff you're interested in. And I just, it seems like, you know, there's so much information out there already that people who are interested can find out.
Right. Right. Okay, wait. Oh, Mr. Kwiatkowski had his hand up.
No, I'm good. Thank you. Okay. Well, I said either that or come to the meeting.
Thank you. That's important.
Yeah.
That's an option.
I have one thing. I don't feel people are going to go to the trouble to look up a meeting and they didn't attend, really. If they really wanted to be here, they would show up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think people, they'd rather just complain anyways.
Yes, Bob?
Do their thing on media, or social media.
Okay, so one of the things is if you look at the proposal and you look at the, I didn't have time to go to their website and dig into it further, but there's the package, they sell several, there's several different things involved here. There is the real-time streaming and storage of the meeting and all that stuff, and then the indexing by time and all these things. It does have an agenda management package. I mean, there's a piece of agenda management software that might it or some equivalent from another source, perhaps, might be worth looking at. The agenda, I mean, you spend quite a lot of time putting these things together, and it's, you know, if the peak agenda management, is that what they call it? actually provided some utility just by itself. That part, I think we could get, you know, that's not something that has to do with the public seeing it. It just has to do with getting the agenda put together and modified and distributed promptly. I don't know. I'm just saying, is there a piece of this that might be worth considering implementing just to see how, if it does any good? That would be a thought.
There are options. I just have not, I don't have any experience with any of the other solutions, so I don't know. I know that you can do audio alone without video, and I don't.
I'm thinking less about the management of the 4 hours of the masters. I'm thinking, is there just some of their software, they allege to do various kinds of things, and does the peak management, peak agenda management, provide a service that would be implementable, because that's a lot cheaper than the whole package. No, it's not that cheap, but it's cheap. It's a lot cheaper, quite a bit cheaper than all that. I don't know. I think maybe I'd like to, and then potentially that could lead to some kind of a phased implementation if we try something and we say, hey, well, this is really good. This is saving us time or improving clarity or something like that. Then maybe we consider going to the next step. Like just, you know, could you look into that maybe and come back with a...
I can look into anything the board wants.
Come back with an a different... Because I just think this... I'm going to say, if we vote on it, I'm going to vote against doing this right now, so...
Okay. Yes, Kay.
Okay.
I'm sorry, John.
Just a suggestion.
Come on in.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. My blood sugar's going low. I'm sorry.
Okay, so this is what I'm thinking.
Cookies in here.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I want the stupid sugar, but it's really good, Nancy. Thank you. I'm really thinking that I know the idea is good, but I want you to use the money where you need it the most. Why don't you think about having a public ad hoc committee? I would volunteer, maybe to do some research, with if someone else wants to be on it, and see what you can do that will give you better and not cost money. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm a research person. I'm working on a film now. I do research. So I'm willing to do that so you don't have to take your time and find out what exactly you need and the least amount of money you could spend, because I want that money in the salary pool. I really do.
Yes, John.
Pete, you've worked with this before, right? How did you like it?
The thing is, we have different people here.
Right.
We have extremely competent clickers, you know. We have a better evolved system just over the last year in putting this thing together that I fashioned after the way that this software worked, except that it's not linked and we don't have the video. So what we're doing right now is pretty much mirroring the way that this thing puts things together. I'm kind of backing off a little bit, looking at the cumulative impact of things. And Jennifer, I would love for you to jump in on your thoughts, whichever way they are. But I think we've done a pretty good job of getting if our agenda works the way that it is. And I think we've got an evolved system now putting it together. And the only real benefit is somebody to be able to drill right in with a keyword, to pull up our website like this, drill down with a keyword. If they want to know about salaries, they type in salaries, and everything that's been discussed on the agenda for 2019 related to salaries is going to come up, and then you click on the agenda item, and it takes you right to that board discussion on that particular item. You don't have to look anywhere else. So I'm torn because we're missing, you know, we don't have a lot of people here to say,
right.
Yeah, you know, Ronnie got really excited just because it's a direct link. People don't want us hunt for information, but I don't know that if we spent this and put it out there that more people that need to know would be drilling down. I don't know.
Is there kind of like what Bob was talking about, is there a part of it that we could take and see how it works and see if we like it? Like Bob said, then maybe eventually expand on it.
Yeah.
Because I think, I think it's important that we get our meetings out there more. I really do. I the cost is a lot of money, but to me, there's not enough people that know what's going on in this district, and that's been something that's been a problem since I've been on the board. And the same people come to the meetings, and I'm not saying that it's bad or good or anything. I'm not saying anything about it, but it's the same people. That's not the demographics of the area. That's not what everybody's opinion. You know, so we're
right,
getting kind of skewed on that part. But I'm wondering if there's something we could do to start to see if we like the programs and then expand slowly into it and see what happens. I mean, I don't particularly care about being on TV. I don't particularly care if people know my face around town. I'm not into that, so I don't care about that part. But what I do care about is transparency, and I care about our constituents being able to, whether they're here or not, be able to know and see what's gone on in the district.
Can we track how many times our website is clicked on? Do we have like the click number?
Clickability? Yes, Ron.
Like roughly how many is it?
I haven't looked at that report for a long time.
I agree with what you're saying that the information is out there. It's just out there in a different format. And if every month three people click on it, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink. I don't think just because we changed the format, 3,000 people are going to click on it.
Right.
You know, but
yeah.
If 180 people click on it every month, then we might be making it a whole lot easier for those 180 people that we're unaware of because we see the same, you know, five or six all the time.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
I just want to say, as a employee, like, to have this would be awesome. As a constituent, no. Like, this is something I don't think is really, I think if people who are going to want to be involved are going to be involved. And the people who are not going to be involved, this is not going to get any more people involved. I think having Ronnie, who publishes stuff that says this is what we're doing for the people who don't come to the meetings, investing in that as this is what happened, this is what went on, this is what the board did today, when she goes on next door and she says, you know, that's probably reaching more people than this system would reach people, and that's just my personal opinion.
Yes, Bob.
So, pursuant to your thought, PUD runs this. Yes.
Yeah.
Could we find out from them what their monthly usage, you know, subscriber click-through rate is out of their 12,000 subscribers?
Yeah, I'd find out.
I mean, just approximately. Yeah. Because, I mean, if it turns out it's 5, then, I think, you know, that's one thing. If it turns out it's 10,000, that's another thing. But, I mean, they have an implemented system, right? So they've been in place for a while.
Yeah, since 2008.
Yeah, so if it's going to get use, because we don't necessarily have, if this is worth doing, to your point, the uptake in the first year or two might be pretty small, but if it turns out that it actually does expand to the point where you get more people, you know, a significant number of people involved in it, then it would be worth considering, not necessarily this year, but in at some point.
I'll get that information. I'll report it out in my manager's report. I'd suggest we just move. It sounds like, you know, from an investment perspective, we have other things right now that are more pressing, and this is more of it's a great tool. I'm going to continue to say it's a great tool. If you have a chance, go to the TV website. It pulls up like this, and just poke around.
Don't do it right now. It'll skew their statistics.
we can talk about it at another time. I'm sure it'll come up. It's not a critical guy to have.
No.
Today,
yes.
And there's some other things on this agenda that we've got to have.
This has been an incredibly important discussion, though, because
yes.
We have talked about putting information out and brought a lot of good ideas out there, and we're going to table it for a while? Is that, or table it, or?
No, we're just going to drop it.
Partial implementation. I mean, in the long run, if this was the sort of thing that would get the people that are off the hill from TML to occasionally tune in and look at what was going on, I mean, that would be very useful, because we get, you know, we've never been able to figure out where to schedule the bloody meetings so that we can get people, you know, more people to come. We get the same folks show up no matter when the meetings are scheduled.
And that's what generated this whole discussion.
Okay, so we're going to just drop this right now? Okay.
Is there any chance we could get Veronica to come and do a demo? You know, like Katie came and presented herself? Well, no, but I mean, in the future, not now. In 6 months when everything settles down a little bit.
Absolutely. Like you said, probably the best way to, you know, understanding that internally it's going to, it'll increase efficiency, not by a huge amount because we're already really good at it, but it'll increase efficiency a little bit inside. The best way to know what it does is to go to either the county of Tuolumne's website or QD's website, do a couple keyword searches, see if you can find what you're looking for, and see how easy it is for you as, you know, to drill down and find what you want.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so we're going to move on from here. Item 6C, adoption of a resolution approving applications for per capita grant funds through the State Department of Parks and Recreation.
That's the one for
$200,000. That we...
Page 177.
Yeah.
That change we will make, I would hope. That was intended to be there. Of course, you use the template and just trying to see if I get to my right spot. I guess I'll just drop my almost.
You can just type in.
Where? Can you? No.
177.
Yeah.
We're new graduates. We have Jennifer.
No.
You didn't know that?
Gosh. We will be having training refreshers
for Jennifer yesterday. Thank you, Jennifer. Can you scroll that up, please, Pete?
You need to learn something every day. You
get. Please scroll that up so we can read them.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
We're on page, yeah. Okay.
This is a,
No, I want it smaller so I can read
them. Oh gosh, your eyes are good. Good for you.
No, they're not,
Basically, the per capita grant program has not been funded in many years. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been right around the 2000.
He was going to say turn of
the century.
Yeah, he was.
Turn of the century.
I know.
When it was last funded. And the beauty is districts that meet the requirements for the money have it available. And there's a chunk, $185 million, I think, is there. It is first come, first serve. If every entity that is eligible went forward and got their allocation, they would run out of money before everybody got it.
Okay? So we need
There's
to get
a lot of them that don't do it, that just are like, that don't have the wherewithal to be able to plan a project and implement a project and meet the requirements of the grant. Because you got, you know, everything always is prevailing wage, public contracting, all the stuff. And so many districts have just one little dinky park and it doesn't, in our case, we have more needs than we're ever going to have money at the park. Mm-hmm. Understand, these grants never pay operating costs. Never. You'll never see any one of these that will cover any of the costs associated with keeping the lights on, keeping it maintained, taking the trash out, cleaning the bathroom. But they will always fund improvements that, that increase efficiency. In other words, if your bathroom maintenance costs are really high because your bathroom is easy to break and make a mess of, then a major renovation or replacement of a bathroom can be funded through these grants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We also have to understand that there are several competitive grant programs coming up that we will be applying for. Your competitive grant application is watered down by non-beneficial things. Bathrooms, parking areas, drainage, lighting, stuff like that, basic infrastructure. When we submit applications in the future, the more of those we have in there, the basic infrastructure stuff, the less competitive it is. Because they want you to be building something cool and new, a new gazebo area with benches and blah, blah, blah. They don't want the irrigation, the basic, you know, your irrigation system, they want you to be doing that with something else. Per capita is intended for that something else. Drainage, lighting, upgrade to facilities, support infrastructure, parking lot,
parking lot,
that kind of stuff. There's no competition. You only compete with how fast you get your projects in there.
Do we have projects set aside?
No, we don't have them worked out yet. This authorizes us when they release the money, which will probably be August, to submit project applications.
We have ideas.
We have multiple.
This is just a very early stage thing.
I want to make a statement that I want to get that stamp of eligibility from the state and let them know they've got project applications coming. Okay. And we want to make sure that we think about these enough too that they support our future applications. So we don't want to rush into things, but there are certain things that Louis can speak to that we want to address right away.
The parking lot needs some rehab for sure, but the bathroom is constantly being clogged, and I don't know if it's the piping on the inside or what. We have vandalism there.
Talking to the park?
Yep.
Okay.
The down below, the buildings are needing some help. Well, the snack shack got kind of re-amped, but like a fixed structure above the dance floor / concrete slab, whatever you want to call it. The lighting,
that's competitive. That adds a whole new dimension to that area.
Well, maybe not that.
No, I mean, we want this lighting to go as far as we can.
But district lighting, because it's been talked about for a while now, to get lights around the utilities down there. That way, people can actually drive through there and just look down there to see if anything's going on.
What about the skateboard park?
Smelling pretty bad?
Yeah.
What smells bad? The broken crush.
It's not the dog off a slaughter truck,
no,
man.
I like the fresh air a bit.
Plant is working well. Plant's working.
Oh, really?
Okay.
So what about stuff like the skate park? Would that be something we...
Yeah, that's
there you go. Let's do this.
Yep.
But you were saying what was competitive? That cover over the amphitheater floor down there?
Yeah. You could have turned
what
that
about
into
a bike
I'm
park?
A firm believer in getting any kind of grants we can. You
what
know,
about a bike
through
park?
The park system.
Anybody like the bike park?
This is like for existing infrastructure, right?
Those are competitive. That fits into that competitive. You know, because $200,000 is going to not get very. I mean, we might be able to get. We don't have to decide on the projects now.
Right.
But because this is just a resolution that authorizes me to submit the applications, I will bring all of the applications and the project approvals through this board first.
Okay.
And we'll work it out. We may do a park advisory committee to make sure that, okay, out of all of our wish list of things we developed, here are the things that we can pick off of this $200,000.
Would the fixed thing still be, it's kind of infrastructure, we have a temporary one there that we remove and put on every year.
Yeah.
So technically it's the same.
No, I'm saying it's competitive from, we'll get other money for that, guaranteed.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
We will get that done through a competitive grant program.
There's more money than just
yeah,
per capita.
If we could get the park, like the stage area and all that stuff, up to par to where it was a nice venue.
To where people want to rent it.
Where people want to rent it. There we go. That I've been saying this for years that we need to start renting the park out for like weddings, like build a beautiful gazebo there for somebody to see. I mean, it's a beautiful little park.
Maybe.
Yeah, and if we did that, and then we could start renting it out. When I worked for Cordelia Fire, we had a hall, and we rented that hall out every weekend.
There was talk about that too, setting like little
hangout areas, barbecue areas, not just up top on the bottom. Put them down below by the skate park, and that way people can just, not just one person can use it. You know what I mean? That way there's multiple sections where, you know, most
somebody wants to have a birthday party, they can rent a part of the park or something.
Anyway, there's lots of stuff.
We kind of, with the park, I think it's something where we need to generate revenue for the party so that we can have a nice park.
Yes, Kay.
Just want to know if anyone saw a couple of months ago, we had a break from the real cold weather into like some nice weather. Did anybody catch the little wedding up on top there that some people just went there and had some, they just, it wasn't any big deal. They just stood up in the upper park, got married under that big tree that, you know, when you, at Christmas time. And so are you going to charge people, do you plan to charge people for that, or are you just talking about down below? Someone wants
down below is the only place where people can rent.
Okay.
People in the upper park.
Upper park is upper park.
It was really cute. It was like, you know, cool. 10, 12 people just, you know, someone was like a minister and just getting married and going on the way. It was really sweet.
Okay, so let's, can we make a motion here?
Yes, I move. Oh,
go ahead.
We're going to let Nancy do it this time.
I move to adopt resolution number 1419, approving applications for per capita grant funds to the State Department of Parks and Recreation.
I'll second that. Okay, I want to make a small modification. Sorry, that the place where it says authorized, whatever the hell it's designated, delegates the authority at number 11, that the authority delegated should be to the general manager.
We're going to actually name a person?
A position.
Designated position, not name of person?
It's the general manager.
Yes, okay.
It's a template.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Oh, I thought you did that. Not a person.
And I will second that motion.
If John seconded.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Nancy and John.
Doesn't matter. I just want to make sure it was seconded.
Nancy and John, Okay, all in any more comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. Aye. Okay.
Exciting.
Items. Can we just jump to 7? Item 6D. Adoption of a resolution approving agreement with the California CAD Solutions Incorporated for the preparation and publication of a dash GIS site to display district boundaries and accessories and assessors parcels information to serve as the base site for digital infrastructure maps.
Ooh, that's
let's
about
just, let's
like
just vote on this one, okay? I'm sorry, go ahead.
You want me to be quiet?
I kind of agree, because we still have like 6 or 8 things to do. We've discussed it several times.
Yeah, we're ready.
I would have shown this, if I would have been able to pull up that parcel, every parcel, told you who owned the assessor's parcel number, showing you the infrastructure that's adjacent to it. I mean, all of this stuff, this is the base. With this investment, we're getting the base, the two base layers. We will add another 5 layers or more with water, sewer infrastructure, easements.
Yeah, we need to do that.
All that stuff. I use this. If you want a demo, I'll set this up.
I make a motion.
Hold on a second, John. Sorry. So I sent you a couple of questions.
Oh, yeah.
Who owns the data?
We do.
It's clearly identified.
We provide the data to them.
I know. But is it clearly identified in the purchase material that data is ours? It just doesn't become theirs just because it's on their server.
I'm sorry, I've been
burned by this in the past. Okay, so
sounds like it.
Yeah, no, I will absolutely.
See, and that's really important.
Publicly available, except for the infrastructure maps.
But that's fine. But I want to make sure that if we invest several years into building this stuff up, and then we decide we want to change vendors or possibly bring it in house or something like that, and then they say, we have to charge you for that because
you have to buy your own data.
In some cases, we are going to be looking to them to create the shape file.
Okay, but it should become, that should become.
It is ours.
I just want to make, I'm sorry, this has been
a good point.
perpetual problem with software as a service and data as a service that you need to make sure you know who owns it. And the other question was, how much is it going to cost for the parcel maps from Parcel Plus?
It's about, I think it was $1,100.
Oh, okay. So not, I just had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And keep in mind that this keep in mind that this already is part of the 2018-2019 fiscal year budget.
Yes.
Right? Oh, yes. It's a great idea.
Yes.
Fabulous.
I move to adopt resolution approving agreement with California CAD Solutions, Inc. for preparation and publication of -GIS site to display district boundaries and assessor parcels information to serve as the base site for digital infrastructure maps.
I'll second that.
Okay, now.
But I won't say it again.
Members of the public.
Okay, so one other comment, Bob, you're absolutely right about making sure you have ownership of the data. You also need to make sure that they allow you to export that data in an industry standard format, which could be usable in another CAD system. Because they could give you the data in a form that's proprietary.
Oh, very good. Yes.
And you can't use it. And you can't
actually, I thought that, you know what, it was the Parcel Quest people say they'll do that, but yeah, I don't know who these guys
say. So any of the data you get in the system, you want to have to be able to be exported
absolutely.
In industry standard format.
Mm-hmm. Of any of the many industry standard formats.
Yeah, as long as it's an acceptable format.
I don't really think they're trying to screw us. I just want to make sure that we don't have any management changes. If they go belly up, we need to make sure that we have it. Because we won't have a copy of this data.
No, we will. We have the data first, and we provide it to them. If we need them to create a layer, we need to create easements. We're going to have to provide them the shapefile.
Yeah.
If they are going to create the shapefile, they'll give us a proposal for that.
So we're
going to
maintain an on-site kind of repository of the data.
Absolutely. It's a website. It's a digital display of our data.
Is it open to the public?
Can be.
Facebook? No. That's what I was going to ask. You know, when you put a picture on Facebook, they have something that says they own that picture. So that was the same kind of thing you were talking about, Bob. But I wanted to clarify, you said $1,100, that's all this is going to cost?
For the parcel data.
Parcel data. To own, to subscribe to the service that provides you the data of every parcel in the district, the lines.
A month?
No.
No,
in total.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what does it cost? Is that, are you just paying a yearly fee or do you have to pay like a setup fee?
No, you pay a yearly fee for that. The setup fee comes with California CAD Solutions.
And so what is that?
That's the $7,400.
$7,400 for the site together. I guarantee you.
All I can say about this, I'm just going to say is.
It's 182, Pete.
If the dam toilet floods again, the maps will be someplace else.
So didn't that man from the county just say he Google Earth that immediately up there for you, or no?
It's going to be Google Earth on steroids.
We're going to have.
One of the things they say they'll do is take Google Earth and put in highways and put in a layer.
We'll put all of our infrastructure on top of Google Earth.
Oh, okay.
So it's not just.
You're going to know where all our pipes are, all our water and sewer lines.
All the manholes, all the valves.
Yes.
Pressure relief.
All whose property is on.
Our maps are in our properties.
Yes.
They are.
Thank you.
This is Louie and Greg's Christmas present.
Just so that I answer this question, this is it for Don Pedro. Okay, this is their district boundaries in red, and then you can see the water and sewer lines and all that in blue. Okay, it's only internet speed that keeps it from. Okay. All right. So each one of the lines is a parcel. I want to know who owns this parcel right here. There's my parcel information for those records. There's my water and sewer infrastructure, all the fire hydrants.
Nice.
I want to see if there's a marijuana grow right there.
Holy.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Oh, look what he's growing back there. Look at that. It looks like a hedge.
Is that a hedge?
Tobacco.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This, we won't have as a result of this initial investment, we will not have the water and sewer lines on there, but we're building that layer. We will be taking the maps, having those digitally converted. We're getting proposals to have some field GIS work done to verify the data. So this has never been verified, and a lot of it is just representation. It's pretty close.
So that does, shows the parcel
parcel
line.
Does the parcel quest data include easements? Or at least
no.
Semblance of easements?
We have to have a title report. We should have records. We've got files that say easements all over the place. But we're probably going to have somebody come in and pull all those together, and then
that's too bad. I was hoping for too much for $1,100.
Yeah, but you know what? It might be there. As digital records evolve, there might be an easier way, because right now they're just in paper and a title report, and I don't know. We'd have to. I think it's going to be much easier in the future to get those records.
This is a really substantial thing to do.
Yes.
Is this a spine? No, this is Google.
No.
This is Google Earth.
I don't know if it's live or if it's just a frozen picture.
No.
It's like if you go to Google,
it's a picture. It's a picture.
You're not going to get people walking around.
If you happen to be somebody.
Yeah,
no.
No.
Okay.
No.
No, Google Earth. When Google took the picture.
You were there. They'll block you out. They'll fuzz you up or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, fuzz you up in front of that house.
That's cool. I like that.
You can already do this.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so
cool.
We have enough information to call a vote, right? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Moving on to 6E, adoption of a resolution approving agreement of Aqua Sierra Controls, Inc. for the evaluation of all district computers and related software licenses, operational systems, schematics. I missed the line. State operational status, replacement needs, perform software updates and staff training, develop systems, schematic, and identify improvement needs.
That's a mouthful, too.
Yeah, thanks, Pete.
Sorry,
yeah.
Kids. That's my normal thing. But this is, and Bob, I got into a lot of detail in my response to you on this, and I really appreciate your email.
Sorry that I didn't read your
comments. I knew that I should have given you a call last night, because I answered it last night. But basically, here, let me get this thing casting real quick, in case anybody's paying attention up here, which is not always easy. Basically, we decimated this place back over a decade ago. We took out the management, and we left everybody else to do their job on their own, which happens, because we have people doing their job. However, the guy who's operating the wastewater plant is not necessarily a computer expert, and we've also had technology firms come and go, and contractors come and go that work on the technology, and they go more than they come, and it's been really, really difficult to get good quality integration, understanding of our system, because we don't have an inventory of it. We don't have a baseline to work from of what's where and how much, and so the purpose of this is partially to develop that inventory so we know what's there and what its condition is, what its year is, how it functions, what it does, what its operating system is, what its software package is, whether it's up to date.
Whether we own it, whatever.
And have that database. But it's also to do some internal evaluation of our policies, technology policies, and training for our staff, because we have had issues in the past with being hijacked. Not that anybody did anything wrong, but there are ways to avoid it. And there are apparatus to help you avoid it. And they will prescribe those remedies, and they will develop that training program and deliver it that we can then use for everyone that accesses. I mean, we're on technology all day long. And you know, and it's at risk. It really is. Very, very important. Their scope of work evolved out of months of conversations in reality and needs. It is not, I'll let you know, Aqua Sierra, it is not their primary business to be IT people. They are primarily on the SCADA end of it, but SCADA and its function and integration with everything else we do is probably the most important stuff other than utility billing. And we just need to move on this thing. And this is, although I don't like the total dollar amount, I don't know how else to approach this thing, because we've had consultants that I've used in other areas, other districts, come in, and it was a 100% flop. We put it out for request for proposals. I don't have that baseline. All the requests for proposals that I see, it says exactly what they've got, exactly, you know, what they're, how they're structured, all of that. We don't have that. And that's not something that we're qualified to do.
$26,000. Not to exceed. Let's be fair. It's hourly billing.
Not to exceed. Right. Because we're spread out all over the place. Security-wise, and Bob, you'd asked that question. I have used them for remote maintenance since the 90s. They're, you know, licensed, insured, and bonded to do that. And they would be required to operate that in a manner that is, I mean, they're directed to protect us first, get their work done second, you know. And so it's a really important part of the whole thing. I mean, we're not going to be able to get, unless we had our own employees doing the SCADA, you know, have a SCADA technician on staff. The only way that it's going to be cost effective is to have people be able to get into it. In many cases, they'll come in, they'll take a piece of hardware, they'll bring in a spare, you know, get it going, they'll bring that back to their shop, they'll refurbish it, go through it, troubleshoot it, fix it, bring it back, and, you know, if they come on site. But a lot of the stuff is just glitches where they've got to either call us and do a reset, or they might need to look into it with ear logs or whatever. But I don't know what level of protocol we can put in place, but this is, we certainly will convey to them that is of utmost importance.
A security issue?
Yeah.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is not only the SCADA network, but it's the computer network here that you're using in the buildings, and the whole bit, potentially tying it all together and
putting it on a replacement schedule, you know, getting the inventory, letting us know what software we do and don't have, making recommendations as far as, you know, whether we use subscription service or whether we buy a desk, whether we
and then and who in the district is going to be the point of contact there.
Jenny, for
Louis.
It'll be between it. I'll be the this and so he'll be the that.
Yeah.
But like Pete was saying, they're going to come in. We had them come in to give us a quote on getting our SCADA system. They're like, "What do you have?" We had 6 IT people. 2 of them flopped. Some of them did something. I don't know. You know, that was our answer. Like, we didn't have a map. We didn't have a book of this is what it was. This is what we got. This talks to this. This goes here. This does this. We had none of that. These guys are going to come in. They're going to set this up to where, like you said, maintenance program. When we get a new computer, in 4 years, you better budget to get rid of that one because it's going to be outdated, right? They leave. Their business goes up. They're going to have a Bible for another company to come in and go, this is what we got. And they're going to open it up and go, oh, gotcha, perfect.
We passwords that we know with the licenses that we own.
This, you know, I mean, so I sent Pete some mild comments about this. Doing it is fine. I mean, this was actually, if I remember correctly, one of my proposals for management objectives.
For computer software, software
engagement, yes. 21st century. So I have to, I mean, the objective is fine. I had two issues with it. I thought $1,000 a computer was a little high for just basically doing recommendations. And I still do. But on the other hand, it is billed hourly, so maybe there's, you know. Unfortunately, my experience with billed hourly things is all the hours tend to get billed. But we'll see how that goes. And the other one was about SCADA. And the fact that you've dealt with these, I mean, you've had people, you've had these guys doing remote maintenance for you on other things in the past. I mean, I mean, SCADA is us, right? I mean, SCADA is the plant. It's the thing that makes stuff run. And we allow external access to it to proper employees with two-factor authentication, I assume. I think I know. This is letting it out, you know, remote access for maintenance is letting that outside of our organization, and it just makes I'm not saying don't do it, I'm just saying it makes me nervous, and I want to feel good about it, that's all.
It's been like that for a long time, actually.
Who does their own access?
Workforce Automation takes care of the state reports, and Telstar, who used to do all of our programming support and all that, they had capabilities of logging into any piece of equipment here for the SCADA machines, which technically is not on the internet.
Right.
It's by itself, so they have to go through VPN, they have to have their passwords and everything of that nature. And it's pretty, as I've learned going forward from all this stuff that we've been dealing with, is that's like one of the most secure ways you can do it, having the VPN and all that kind of stuff. So. But it's been like that for a while.
So we're okay. But you're okay with these guys. I mean, that actually is a, you know, I mean, all you can do is go on reputation. I mean,
what we get into is, like, if they can't remote in, and they come, they literally drive all the way up here to log in one of our PLCs because the program lost one little lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's like travel time, and if you turn them to 2 days, you're paying for them to lodge here.
You practically assuaged my concerns on that, right? The fact that you know them. I mean, you know this company. So I'm okay with, you know. All you can go on is reputation, really.
I think on their SCADA thing,
it's still a little pricey, but,
verification or something.
We gotta get this stuff organized.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna be good going on budget.
Because the security on the water treatment plant SCADA, security on the sewer treatment plant and lift station SCADA is ultimately important because of the age we live in.
Yes.
It's incredibly important. It's got to take two-factor.
Hence my paranoia.
Okay. Yeah.
Two-factor security.
So can we make a motion?
Difference to time, because we still have six more items to get through.
Can we make a motion for this, please?
Yeah, I move to adopt a resolution approving agreement with Aqua Sierra Controls for the evaluation of all district computers and related software licenses, operational status, replacement needs, perform software updates and staff training, develop system
schematic,
and identify improvements needed.
Otherwise known as Resolution 16-19.
I should have just read it that way.
Do we have a second?
I second the motion.
Nancy did already.
Oh, good job, Nancy.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? Yes, sir.
Well, I just lost my place in here, but anyway, make sure that they give you a password management policy and recommend a device like PasswordSafe. It doesn't have to be that program, but some other program like that, that you keep your passwords all encrypted in a basically a locked facility, locked software.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned VPNs. Make sure all your VPNs are encrypted. Communications are encrypted.
Synology, I believe, is the cool little box that it has to go through, and I guess that kind of, I think, does what you're
talking about. Does that. So as long as you have encrypted VPNs. Yeah. And then password policy should include changing the passwords a lot. When we ran a time-sharing service where we had millions of people running on the service, passwords for all of our staff changed every week.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was part of their recommendation.
And certainly for SCADA, I mean, at least for SCADA access to their two-factor authentication.
Okay, yes, Kay.
Is this company going to run the SCADA system or just evaluate the SCADA system?
They're going to maintain the SCADA.
They're going to maintain it. Do we still have Alan Bradley?
Yes, we do.
We do. Okay. I just wanted to go from MOMS to Alan Bradley to all these different systems. We still maintain the Alan Bradley system. We're not going to change out that system. Unless these people say so.
That's not a system, that's just equipment.
That's hardware.
We have Alan Bradley. Actually, with the SCADA proposal, it's actually bought us our own license for it because we didn't own it before. The people who were doing the computer work for it had it on there, so we couldn't even physically log into anything or update anything because we didn't own it.
And that's what all this licensing is. So the next thing is because it's on the internet, what if the internet's down?
SCADA's not on the internet.
It is.
Well, external access to SCADA.
Oh, okay,
yes,
okay. Well, I mean...
When we had that...
Somebody comes in and runs the
plant. Yes.
What was it? Last month when we had one day.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually getting ready to set up overnights.
Okay. Yep.
Scheduled for people to sit there and watch this thing. And Greg had his guy for the plant. And we had a C&D on call because there's 16 stations out there. Mm-hmm. They'll talk back to the home unit through radio, mm-hmm. but they won't communicate to us at home or they can't log in from home to check it. And so we're literally going to have somebody pretty much work 24 hours driving around. Okay. That and just working, just sitting here at the station.
And telephone service.
That's what I want to know. Will it still pay?
We got radios. We got radio backup.
But there was one other thing, though, with when that did happen, we did have our secondary internet provider, which didn't lose service. So it automatically switched over. That system didn't run our phone system for some reason. I think they had an IP issue or something I heard. But other than that, we did have, like, emails and all that. So.
Okay.
But it didn't. Our communication.
We spent a lot of money on SCADA.
So when this is done, we will have... be a lot further along in both SCADA and our computer systems and have everything that we need to be able to budget and understand where we're going in the future.
And is this a concept with this company for a certain, excuse me?
First scope of work.
For how long?
It's not. It's just the first scope of work.
It's just the first scope of work. And then do we contact with them after that or no?
We are, we have a proposal from them for hourly basis IT work.
Okay.
Okay, so let's...
That's really all we'll do.
Thank you,
which
Mr. Campa.
Proposal from this proposal.
Okay, so can we call a vote, please? Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Aye. Unanimous.
Before you leave, can I thank you for very insightful questions and comments?
Yes,
today.
Very much.
Very much. Thank you very,
very
much.
Very helpful. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
May.
May.
We may see you in May.
Okay. Item number 6F, adopting of a resolution approving agreements with CityGate Associates for the update of the Fire Department Master Plan and Establishment of Services Standards and Development Plan. P.
Is that really?
Yeah, that's the next one.
Where am I? Oh, there it is. I was too far ahead of myself.
CityGate.
I've got that. I'm just trying to boil my thoughts down into a little bit of discussion. This is as significant as our water and sewer master plans are. The master plan for the fire department and updating that document is going forward and knowing specifically and exactly what we need to do to meet the standard. First off, to know what standard we meet currently, to know what standard, if we compare ourselves to other standards, and those standards are starting to be modified with the experiences that we've had throughout the state, how do we compare? To meet that standard, what do we need to do? What does it cost? Where do the stations reside? Who pays for it? What are the typical ways that it's paid for? How is this development that is occurring outside of our boundaries how much of an impact is that really? Should we look at annexations? Should we look at service agreements? What is the mitigation? How does that work? A portion of the scope of work of this should be funded by those outside entities that are causing the need for evaluating that impact outside the boundaries, because there is no current revenue source to pay that other than property taxes from inside. But we're working on those details. I am working with the county, who is working with the developer, that may be able to have them pay a portion of the scope of work cost to look at that impact outside of the district boundaries. Waiting for the county to do it is driving me bananas.
Yeah, worthless.
The county is, because their process takes so long, it's not that they don't want to do it, it's just they have good intentions, but they're too cumbersome. So we look at the developer can do it, but the developer can't use CityGate. And if the developer's going to use somebody that I'm unfamiliar with and don't know anything about, I want CityGate to represent us to work with that developer's consultant to make sure that it's right. So in the event that the developer pulls on a consultant to look at those impacts through the county's EIR process, and they are going to do an EIR, okay, which is significant. They could have done it under a mitigated negative declaration, so it's a big evaluation.
There's no way they were going to do a mitigated negative declaration. Yeah.
If they would have, had there not been so much comment from Groveland.
We passed.
And that's exactly what happened.
I'm glad we're doing this, because, you know, we have to have our best interest. The county's not going to have our best interest.
No, they're not. They don't even have a firehouse up here.
Yeah, they've blown it on so many occasions, you know, Evergreen, Rush Creek, all these places that they've been letting go in with nothing for us. Mm-hmm. Not even our ambulance, nothing. So this is awesome. This is what we need.
Yes.
So I'm sick of the county.
Lastly, this will be, this will also look at the establishment of evaluate the potential for a cost recovery program. Remember, we talked about this more than we can look at internally, and they can easily tell us whether we're going to be able to bill people for service, how to get those records, how much we could bill, and how much we could expect to recover.
Also, one of the things I'd like to see included in this is John Gray sat here at the last meeting telling us that there's really nothing that the county can do. He's full of it. He's full of it. His eyes are brown. And you know what? There is stuff that the county can do. It's in the health and safety code, and I want them to find that out, and I want them to put it to the county that you are going to take care of us, and you are going to ask for these things, or we're not going to respond up there.
Well, that's the same guy that was going to take the PUC, the City of San Francisco Railroad grade, and negotiate for it and not even tell us. It runs right through the middle of GCSD.
Yeah, he has the same no desk interest in taking care of us up here.
Okay, Bob.
So, Pete.
Pete.
Sorry. So, absolutely agree that all of this stuff needs to happen. I mean, we're supposed to be the fire subcommittee, but we aren't going to do this stuff, so that's fine. What is the agreement? We're approving an agreement. What is the agreement?
You're approving me to enter into a sole source agreement and negotiate the scope of work, and not to exceed $25,000 for this fiscal year.
Okay, so what we're really doing is not approving an agreement. We're approving authorizing. I just want to be clear what we're doing here. We're approving authorizing you to go out and negotiate an agreement with these people to do this work with a defined scope of work and a cost not to exceed $25,000 this year.
I do it this way just normally.
I'm fine with that. I just want to make sure. It says an agreement, and there's nothing actually to read, so I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. We'll just make a motion. Can we make a motion on this?
I make a motion that we approve Resolution 17-19.
Well, that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Very simple.
Okay, second. Okay, and now we can bring it to the public.
The one public is left.
Two, we have two.
You're over there.
I'm public, too.
Oh, that's Dan.
Well, yes.
I live here, I think I will.
That's true, you have the four publics that's left, but you guys are speaking up. Okay, so here's the deal. See, it's not going to be 25,000. It's going to be more than that. I've not ever seen a fire plan or whatever go for 25,000. Is it 25,000 for them to give you a price of what the whole plan is going to cost? Or is it really 25,000?
I'm going to spend 25,000 this year.
This year, it's 25,000.
Just this year, just till the fiscal year. And then we're going to have the bigger amount.
We'll budget, but I will, the first thing I'll do when we sit down is I'll be developing the budget for 2019-2020.
But I've never seen it done this way. I've always seen a fire master plan comes out with like a very, like 100,000, a lot of money. So I'm trying to figure out, what is the 25,000 buying us? In your agreement, I'm not sure.
Getting
the bigger total price and picture and scope of work is going to be laid out in that 25,000. I'm just trying to understand it, okay?
Mm-hmm. There's items 1 through 6 in the staff report there. Evaluate the growth trends. So in other words, I'll look at the county's projects.
Okay, so all those things are going to do for not just the 25,000, correct?
No, all those things are going to start.
They're going to start them for 25,000. Yeah,
they're going to what?
They're going to start them. We're going to get going on the, I'm going to be having them prioritize looking at number 2 and number 4 first and number 1. I mean, you know, I'm going to outlay $25,000 this year. I don't know what the total cost is going to be. I really don't know.
I know. I was just trying to figure out that 25,000 is going to give them a start to tell you how much the whole, all those things are going to cost. But you're saying all those things are the 25,000. Thank you.
Yeah. They are not going to, if they can get all of this done within $25,000 and it be exactly what we need, I would think they were absolutely marvelous.
It's not going to happen. That's why I'm looking at this saying that's not enough money.
Okay, but we also want them to do this so we can move forward with decisions to be made on how we're going to be impacted down the road. And we're going to ask for a portion of this to be reimbursed to us by the developer.
Wait, but I just think it's going to be a lot more money. I know it's going
to
be a lot more money.
Well, we've got to start somewhere. We need to, we're not going to wait for the county to tell us how they're going to impact us.
Bob, just spell it out for me, Bob. Bob's got an idea.
Yes, I'm sorry.
So, if I'm understanding this correctly, this is money we plan to spend this year. This is money that is not actually particularly budgeted for this project or this year. Next year, there will be a budget item for this. We don't know how, and we're going to have to talk about that. We'll have to see how much we can afford to spend on it. The reason we're dealing with this one right now is because we can't obligate spending money next year for something we haven't had a budget for next year yet. I mean, kind of a accounting technical thing. So this is the first installment.
We could if we had gone through a major process of getting a proposal from them. The dilemma that I have is that the county wants to move really fast but can't move really fast. And we need to get this done for budget purposes and for this
project. And we need to be out in front of the county.
Yeah,
and
I know.
That's
okay. Go ahead.
We wake up in the morning in front of the county.
Thank you.
We need to protect ourselves.
Okay, so we're going to call for a vote, please, on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to item 6G.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep coming up with comments. I just want to point out that since this is a fire master plan, the funding for this will come out of the government.
I did say I was going to get
money
from the government.
The government money that we're going to get?
No, the government fund.
Oh, the government fund.
It won't have nothing to do with water or sewer.
Right, got it.
From the fire tax.
Yes. Okay, 6G, right? Okay, adoption of a resolution recognizing the creation of a community emergency response team known as CERT, and providing certain support and insurance.
I don't know how much we need to believe with this one, this is, we all, there's already 17 people signed up apparently for this. Mm-hmm. What happens is they get further along in the program and they'll be trained by outside entities. There's a certified trainer in Tweenhar and some other places, maybe you know a little bit more about it, John, but they need a home. They need they either need to be their own nonprofit with their own insurance and bylaws and board and everything else, or they need to be housed somewhere. And I've seen several districts, one of them I was managing when they went through it, where the CERC was getting ready to walk away from their equipment because their insurance costs was going up or their trailer, and they didn't want to do the administrative stuff on it. They just wanted to show up when there was an emergency and all that. This puts us out in a position of being in front of that, saying we will facilitate that when there will be grants that we will look to apply for in the future to purchase trailers and equipment that's everything on a single place for this team. We'll house it here somewhere, whether it's under a tarp in a garage, whatever it is, or wherever we can put it.
Out next to the boat that we saw parked out there when we went on the ride.
Are they going to need office space? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I think most of their training and all of that's going to happen at the fire department, I would assume. Mm-hmm. And other locations, certainly at the resiliency center. That's another value of those mm-hmm. kind of things. Mm-hmm. Is, to have all the right training stuff. But I just think it's the right thing for the district to do, to be able to say that it's not a capital outlay right now. It's more just offering up that structure.
Yes, Bob.
I move that we adopt Resolution 18-19.
I second the motion.
Any comment?
Question. This is going to be funded by grant money that's available to us, correct? That's what you just said.
There's nothing to buy right now.
Pardon me?
There's nothing to buy.
Oh, but we have to supply the equipment.
No, we don't.
I thought we do. From the last meeting, the last time I heard this discussed, we were supposed to supply whatever equipment. Maybe
no, we provide storage location for the equipment.
Just storage, okay.
Yeah.
The project's facility.
Where did they get the equipment from?
It'll be grants.
Oh, that's what
I'm saying.
Yeah, but we're not.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be grant funded.
We're providing certain support and insurance.
Thank you. Let's vote on it. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving on to 6. Where are we? H. Special consideration of a nomination of candidates for the Board of Directors of California Special District Association and Special District Risk Management Authority.
Combine those on the agenda. They could have been separate agenda items, but I thought we would keep the agenda to 2 pages.
What a guy.
Without changing the font. Good plan.
There's a lot of information in the packet about this, and Bob could speak to.
Well, I'd like to solicit the board nominating me for re-election to the SDRMA board.
I nominate you.
I'll second that because it's incredibly important to have him. The knowledge that he brings back from those SDRMA meetings mm-hmm. is important. Precious.
Yep. Yeah, okay, so. We forced it, so you're in.
You have to approve the resolution.
You have to approve.
Well, we were silly when we said we approved it.
Yeah.
What's the resolution?
And then I have to do my damn resume.
I will move to nominate.
Excited about hearing my name at the conference.
Yes.
I hear about Bob.
Yes.
We heard about Bob.
Yes, we did.
It's an honor to have him as part of that board as well.
Because this board is nothing less than magnificent.
It's really, I'm just going to say, it is actually useful for me to be there, other than the fact that I get some
the resolution?
Trips.
Page 200, you know,
conferences
yep.
we don't have to pay for.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We're in the process of kind of actually reevaluating SDRMA's posture. We went through a period of time when they were solicited. I mean, we have. SDRMA ensures the damn city of Santa Clarita.
Yeah.
Okay. And that wasn't how the thing was set up to be. GCSD, you may or may not know, was a founding member of SDRMA, one of the first 76 organizations that joined it. It was originally set up to try to serve small districts that can't get a decent rate on their insurance because of the size, you know, they have no clout.
Do they do homeowners insurance too?
No. Agency, public agency. You have to be a public agency.
You know, USAA.
McMurtry was involved in that.
But he still is. Well, he's more with CSDA than McMurtry.
Yeah.
But it's a really good thing. It saves us a ton of money on insurance. And it, more to the point, it makes it available to even little tiny districts that are even smaller than we are. So I'm actually kind of stoked about it. It's an important thing. We're going through, you know, it's not like we're going to kick Santa Clarita out, but we have decided to reorganize, not to hunt up big customers just because they have a lot of premium flow, because that's not what the organization is supposed to exist for. And we end up eating, they end up eating their shorts on it because their claims are huge. We're going through some awesome revision.
Cool.
Did anybody second the motion?
Okay, we did. We need to do a CSDA.
I move to nominate Bob Swan.
And adopt resolution 40-19, which is what we'll nominate.
Okay, I was going to say I didn't see a number on it. Okay, so yeah. And adopted, I move to nominate Bob Swan for the board of directors and adopt resolution 2019.
Yes.
And I second the motion.
Mm-hmm. Any public comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll go for it. I want to be on the board again.
Yeah, man, that's, I can't tell you how many times he's come back from one of those meetings and had good information for our discussion we were having.
Okay, now are we talking about the CSDA?
You're starting on 222.
Nomination.
You've got information about California Special Districts Association. I've been against CP for our region. I've been on the CSDA board almost continuously since 1998. I had a short 6-month hiatus in transition, but I continue to serve there now on the board. There are 3 seats per region, and one of the seats in our region is up. I was nominated by Saddle Creek Community Services District. So, in theory, someone from Groveland could serve.
Oh, I was going to ask that. So, because this is the district you're in, but you are nominated from.
I'm already in. My turn isn't up until.
But you were nominated by somebody else.
By somebody else. Yeah.
They do have the same exclusion, right? You can't have 2 members.
Right. It couldn't be 2 from GCSD.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so so nobody here can do this?
No, you can't.
No,
you
can't.
Oh, you can't. Okay, gotcha.
And I shouldn't, because I'm already on the SDRMA.
Yes.
And I'm hopefully going to be on the SDRMA.
The incumbent is, has,
Ginger.
Said her, yeah, Ginger has said she is going to put in for re-election, if that makes any difference to the decision-making.
I'm out. I'm raising 3 small children.
Do you think she'd be better replaced by if somebody was interested?
Yeah, we'd like your input, Mr. Campa.
I didn't think I was going to be asked that question.
Your input is always important, Pete.
Is anybody willing to, have you looked at the
one reason. Ginger's okay, as far as I know. I mean, I've only met her a few times. One of the things that comes up in the SDRMA board and appears like it might be the case in CSDA as well, at least looking at the expiring terms, is there's a pretty high level of employees, general managers or administrative managers or whatever else, compared to the number of elected officials. That's something we've talked about on SDRMA. I mean, we have 2, including me, there's 2 out of the 7 are board members, and the rest are some kind or another of an employee. And the perspective is different. So, I mean, having a board member in that seat, not that I necessarily think that Ginger could be, beaten if she runs, just because incumbency is a pretty big deal. You look at what's expiring here, every single, five of the six are general managers.
Yeah.
And one director. So I would, you know, beefing up the number of electeds on, I mean, if somebody wanted to run, that would be my...
And I would definitely support that. I used to hear that at every CSDA board meeting from a board member of a rec district by the name of Michael Seaman.
Poor guy.
Come on. Michael Seaman. Okay, but he used to get very upset about the fact that there were general managers on the board. And you're right, they do have a different perspective.
I mean, Mike and I are the only ones.
Anyway, it's great. Go ahead.
Since you're on this, right?
Yes.
So when it says you need to attend 4 to 5 meetings of the annual meeting in Sacramento, be on at least one committee, which meets 3 to 5 times a year, what are the odds you would be able to marry those up, like, in one trip? You know what I mean?
They're doing much better at marrying up if you're on multiple committees, having that together on a single trip.
I'm sure, obviously, that depends on who's on the committee and stuff. But if you're coming to Sacramento anyway.
Yeah, no, it's usually, when you're going for a board meeting, you're there from 9:30 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon.
Well, but even spend the night, then do the one the next day or
something.
You know
what? You know? They do. It hasn't worked out that way for me all the time, usually because when I go to Sacramento, I typically come home because and I'll attend the conference calls a lot the committees by conference call if I can't make it to Sacramento or it doesn't work out.
They do a lot of their committees with conference calls. I mean, not exclusively.
Yeah, it's only 3 to 5 times a year.
It's always better to be face-to-face.
Yeah, for the committee, yes, the office meeting, or office.
Yeah, it does.
Because I was thinking, if they couldn't marry them up, good Lord, that could be...
I will say there is some time.
Never mind. I was thinking a month.
Yeah.
Got this every 3 days. No,
it's
advantage.
It's honestly not that bad. You know, and
how many?
10. Up to 4 to 5, 3 to 5, so 10. Plan on the worst.
The full board meetings for CSDA are quite a bit.
And it also says they do not reimburse expenses for the two conferences, even though the board or committee meeting is held in conjunction with the event.
The one thing that they did vote on, on the board meeting last Friday, was that the annual conference would be paid for board members at CSDA, which I've been fighting for since 1998.
Yeah, I'm reading that here. They don't reimburse.
But that has changed.
Okay, good. Okay. So it says the CAC special district legislative day is held in the spring and the annual conference in the fall. So will both of those be?
Not the legislative days.
Okay,
but you know what?
That's fine. Yeah.
West conference and legislative days. Yep. I'd have to look back at my packet. It was a 280 page packet. But, yeah.
Jeez. Well, GCSD would probably send you the legislative days.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. But the LA one would be paid for, huh?
Yep.
Other than I'm the newest kid on the block. I mean, I'd be willing to do it. Other than we take a spring and a fall cruise every single year. So, how much hell do you have to pay then if you happen to be in Iceland in the this year during?
You just got fly home
during
for a month. Yeah.
Legislature days.
You just fly home for the day.
I mean, are people allowed to have a life? And
like I said, they don't have an enforcement arm, and it's only if people don't like you that they'll try to push it.
Oh, so then I'd be.
In reality,
you'd be fine.
I have missed legislative days for 3 out of the last 4 years because of South Creek's board meetings on the same day, and I had board member that didn't want to change the meeting. Period.
Do you know when your fall cruise is?
Absolutely no way.
Just tell them you're going to be out of town. And
because this ledge's good.
Well, I know I'm gone.
I make a motion we nominate Nancy Moore.
I also want to say that all nominations have to be received by the 17th.
Today's, yeah, so it's got to be.
Which is next Wednesday.
Yeah.
And you have to put in your, sorry, double-sided, it's messing up.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Director Moore knows shorthand. She can have that resume done in minutes.
The nomination form, the candidate information sheet.
Yeah, like how much.
And I didn't, you know, when I saw it, they didn't have a resolution, and I thought they said, well, minute action. I said, oh, we'll just do that. But then we're not going to, it have to be approved minutes.
No, because you can certify, you could do a minute.
Okay, that's what I was
excerpt of minutes where you certify that it's true and.
Okay.
Accurate representation of what occurred to me.
Okay.
Yep.
What four modulars? We've had two. What
you're
other?
Done.
Isn't there four? It says four.
You did the governance of Leadership Academy, right?
Yeah.
All did four. All oh, four modules. That's the first.
Oh, there's more than one module.
You did that last
for,
year.
Okay, gotcha. Well, you did all that, Nancy.
You're good.
But the board's there at the meeting. Isn't the board, is the board there? Just out of curiosity.
That's
isn't the board at the leadership academies?
Not all of them.
Okay. Well, I didn't know.
Because they come to us. That's an educational thing. It's not a board, unless they schedule a board meeting. It's
okay.
There's always a board meeting at the annual conference. Way too early in the morning. Very short, though.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, me. Yeah. I can very much support a member of the GCSD board being on the board of CSCA. I think it would be absolutely
I think it would be magnificent.
Nancy, you want to do it?
I mean, am I going to look like I'm an idiot there because I haven't been doing this or...
Not.
That'd be when I don't have the knowledge of Mr. Swan.
You're a rookie. Well, like, is this like when I showed up at SDRMA, I didn't know anything about insurance.
There's nothing wrong with not knowing anything.
And actually, you know quite a bit. You know about board status. You've been through the training for what stuff. I mean, CSDA, fundamentally, CSDA is a lobbying organization that does education on the side. Okay, I mean, there are lobbying. That's why legislative days, I suggested you all might want to go to legislative days, is so such a big deal, is because that's actually the heart of what CSDA exists to do, is to try to defend us from...
So when does the term take place? When does it start?
Good question. Probably says in there somewhere.
That was the first of the year.
For the term of 2020 to 2022.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we don't want you to miss your first meeting, because you're going to be on your cruise for.
I said spring.
She'll be kicked off before she turns back.
Is there three-year terms? Nancy?
I thought I heard somebody make a motion there just a minute ago.
I make a motion.
I'll second it.
That Director Mora be nominated to the CSD Board of Directors nomination seat B.
Now, this would go through an election.
Yeah, I was going to say, just to be nominated, to be nominated.
Yes, yes.
Doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to do it.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Okay.
Now, it's open for... Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, we have a... any public comment? Okay, moving right along.
I have one public comment.
Yes.
John, you should go to one of these things. Since 10 years you've been here, you haven't gone to one of these things.
He promised he's going to. Okay, now, back to the board. We call for a vote.
You can go with Spence.
Yeah. Call for a vote.
Yeah, I'm going to Napa.
Aye.
Aye.
I guess. All in favor of Nancy. Yay.
Aye.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
They have no idea what they're getting.
Yeah, they're probably like, oh, wait, I met her at one of these.
Ginger?
Did we meet Ginger? No, they're saying she's saying people are going to say they met her.
I remember coming and I talked past this.
Item J.
Finally.
Approval of a consulting...
Right?
You're too much in
Ginger. We're still moving.
Ginger Root.
Forward.
Approval of a consulting services contract change order with Coffin Associates for the development of updated job classifications. So this is not something that was done in part of their scope that they've already completed?
No. No, this is this is to make sure that the classifications that we have at the district are the best that they can be, the best way to distribute the work, that we're not developing classifications that have, or not, you know, not implementing classifications that have a way to, way too specific, I'm starting to lose my brain here, but so they basically just look at the entire structure and compare us against the industry, and there's a pretty detailed scope of work in here. They're not going to have to do some of this because we've already done it, if I can remember which piece of it. In other words, they will come in under budget on this work. Because they're not going to have to do the questionnaire.
Oh, yeah, the part that was done in-house by staff and directors and stuff, yes.
So we'll come in under budget on this, but basically it's, we've got, take for example the administrative services technician. We have never had a 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. Now we have a 1, 2, and 3. What requirements do we have for the 1? What do you need for the 2, and what do you need for the 3? What objective criteria does Jennifer look at to make that advancement to people? You know, we got to know how to develop the training program to those specific job skills from the 1 to the 2 to the 3. And the same goes for on the operations side, making it easy for Greg and for Louie to be able to specifically identify exactly what skills and characteristics and traits and experience you need to have to move through the ranges. Make sure the job descriptions are all reflective of that so that we can bring a whole package of the classification and compensation back to the board for budget time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That's very important for the staff member to know, too. For he or she can start setting their individual goals for moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea.
Not to exceed
$55,000.
$55,000? Not to exceed. So, you know, we've, all of this in the past has always been done in-house. We've mm-hmm. always had, you know, kind of, and I have to say our job descriptions and classification things are not ideal. I'm changing from my original words that I was going to use. They're not very good. And in many cases, there's too many. It's real easy to start putting down. There's too many items. It's too, you know, you can, a job description is a tricky thing. You want it to be sufficiently complete that it does describe what is supposed to be, encompassed and what the requirements are to do the job. You don't want it to get into just too many nuts and bolts because that may change, and it's just kind of a waste of time. So having a having professional help on this would be a good thing. If we're seriously trying to revise our compensation plan to revise our compensation package, we need to have, this is an important piece of it, and I think, unfortunately, I think we've demonstrated as an organization that we can't do it in-house properly. And it's not meant to be a bad reflection on anybody that tried. I'm terrible at it myself.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's the kind of thing that this is something we're having somebody that really has, done hundreds. We're hiring a bit of human resources.
Sounds good.
Okay, so can we have a
motion?
I would like to make a motion to approve a consulting. Where are we? Approval of a consulting service contract change order with Coffin Associates for the development of updated job classifications.
I'll second.
Okay, and public comment.
Wasn't this in the original proposal from Coff?
No, we brought this. Why?
Why?
Because I didn't think it was as bad as it was.
But I thought you went through and changed all the job descriptions so they could go ahead and do their comparative work.
We did, but we didn't get these classification she has a great way of explaining it, Katie does. We don't have the description of the method that's to be used by the supervisor to give the employees the tools to go from a 1 to a 2 to a 3 and evaluate those certification requirements, make sure. Right now we're having such difficulty with moving people, with, you know, to advancing.
18 months, after 18 months you get this certification and 24 months for this certification?
Not working.
Well, once you get the certification, by the way, it's not just about a certification.
Don't you move up?
Yeah, but my point is it's not just about the certification. The certification, great, we need it. We need highly qualified people with those certs. But they need to be technical as well. They
have to have certain skill levels.
They have skills. And if this is going to evaluate the employee, they're going to have a piece of paper, and they're going to come and say, you know what, I'm signing you off saying you completed this section. Because we're to the next section, you have to complete A, B, and C. You know, so they're going to go back, and they're going to work on those next items, and they're going to be able to move. But right now, we don't have any movement.
This will give them pathways for
pathway promotion. Pathway, there it is.
I'm saying.
Okay, yes, Mike.
I agree with you there because I worked in the automotive business for 35 years, and we all had to be certified in from the front bumper to the rear bumper. And there's a lot of people out there that can take tests, but there's a lot of people that can take tests, but they cannot fix a damn car. And that's true. It's dangerous.
Yeah, when rubber meets the road, they
and people can take a test, but. That person may not be able to treat water.
Can't get on the business end of a shovel.
Yeah.
It's got all that in there. After 18 months and you have step ranges or merit ranges.
Okay, it does have that, right? It does. So look at this. The point is, the individual sees a time frame. If we're going to hold somebody back because their technical skills are what we need to be a higher range, we can't move back because they met time frames. But it's...
Okay, we're not going to have discussions here. We're going to have questions and answers. Thank you. So, okay. So, and it was answered by a few people. So, back to the board. All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor.
Move to adjourn.
Okay.
That was the next item, by the way.
Okay, it was, huh? Yeah, well, where are we? Okay, any public, any director comments?
Good job. I actually do, but I'll wait until the meeting is adjourned because this isn't really business.
Okay, so the meeting is adjourned at 1:49. Thank you very much.
Okay, I would like to call your attention to the fact that the South